From the taco place, you hear a voice.
Hey, Dad! Change my mind!
Every parent knows that feeling when, even for a few seconds, you lose sight of your child. Imagine if he or she were actually abducted. Go to wirelessamberalerts.org. Sign up for free Amber Alerts on your cell phone. When an Amber Alert is issued in the areas you've chosen, you'll receive a free text message. If you spot the vehicle, the suspect, or the child described in the alert, call 911. Sign up today at wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. This message brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the U.S. Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Balthaser, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelium Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920. WGNU.
You choose your new house and you're ready to start shopping for a loan. Don't forget to ask your mortgage lender about the wide variety of FHA loan products. FHA insured loans offer everything you might need, from rehab loans to fixed rate, adjustable rate, and energy efficient mortgages. We are the new FHA, your door to home ownership. Ask your lender to show you the FHA door. Call 1-800-225-5342 or visit the website at fha.gov.
Hello, I'm Doug Scott, director of the Illinois EPA, with a special message for Illinois farmers. You've probably already heard a lot about global warming and that it could be devastating to Illinois, including our crop production. To help combat the problem, Governor Blagojevich has created the Illinois Conservation and Climate Initiative that helps farmers earn money for trapping carbon dioxide in the soil. For additional information on how you can be a part of the solution to climate change and make a little extra money, go to IllinoisClimate.org website.
I've got two dogs.
It's fun to have a dog to play with.
We like to play catch.
Bring mom to the party.
You get to have somebody to play with when you're lonely.
Coco likes to, like, try to catch a ball.
Daphne sleeps in my bed.
So we went down to Stray Rescue. Whenever we saw Jenna, she was so small she couldn't fit in our palms. We just played with her and brought her home, and we went and got a leash and everything. My dad, he didn't want another dog, so we brought her into our room, and we just let her walk out and see him, and then she just jumped on him and everything. He changed his mind right away. She's a member of the family now.
Go to StrayRescue.org to find out about weekly adoption events, volunteer opportunities like foster parenting, dog walking, fundraising, and more. Stray Rescue of St. Louis is a not-for-profit organization operating two no-kill shelters in the St. Louis area.
Give your kids an appreciation for animals.
For more information, call 314-771-6121 or go to StrayRescue.org.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
No. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Looking for the perfect gift? How about a delicious alternative? Candy bouquet.
This Mother's Day, do something different. Let Candy Bouquet build a one-of-a-kind gift for your one-of-a-kind mom. Candy Bouquet uses only the finest gourmet candies and chocolates from around the world to create their arrangements. You choose the items, they do all the work. They'll even deliver it. Order today by calling 314-863-2263. That's 314-863-CANDY. Candy Bouquet, 620 North Skinker in the U-City Loop. Visit CandyBouquet.com for more locations.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
Good morning. Now, I don't mean to be a nudge, but have you taken your vitamins this morning? Are you out of them? Do you have any idea of what you should be taking? Well, not to worry. Golden Grocer, with over 30 years' experience in the health food industry, is here to help. Give them a call at 367-0405, and they can take your order over the phone and ship your vitamins right off to you. Or, if you have no idea of what you can be taking, Golden Grocer can give you a quick vitamin assessment over the phone, you can make your selections, and they can ship them off to you. How easy is that? That number again is 367-0405, 367-0405. So live your life like it's golden, and take your vitamins.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say?
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number, 454-6609. That is the fax. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920. WGNU, you need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Ooh, we have an amazing morning this morning. We have many things, many issues that we're going to be talking about, we're going to be addressing. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about toxic legacies. We're going to be talking about the Superfund and where we are now with the Superfund. You're going to be surprised to find out all of the super fund or the toxic places that are located here in the state where you live, but also what has not been done to address the super fund, the waste that the super fund is supposed to clean up. We're going to be talking about that. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be going to Italy. Yes, we are. Buongiorno. We're going to be going to Italy to talk to folks that are organizing against building a military, the United States building a military base in Italy. We're going to be talking to them about why they are protesting that. And then, of course, in the 7 o'clock hour, St. Louis Public Schools Watch. You know what we need at the St. Louis Public Schools Watch? We need a little Where is Craig Now map. Because Craig Williams, the $300,000 man, has bounced from job to job to job to job to job since he bounced out of this job. So we're going to be doing a little Where is Craig Now discussion on the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. You don't want to miss that. Get out your, lay your bets down, folks. Lay your bets down. Where is Craig Now? We're going to be talking about that in the St. Louis Public Schools Watch when Peter Downs joins me. This is Liz Brown. We have much business to tend to, and a busy day. After all, it is the wake-up call. After all, it is riveting radio. After all, we have business to tend to. So you need to get on up. You need to join us on our journey. As my Spanish teacher used to say, our Wednesday journey. 1-877-920-WGNU. Ha, 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 ha. 35,000 people have been told, buckle up, saddle up. You're not going to Disneyland. You're going to Iraq, and be prepared to deploy this fall. 35,000 troops have been told, saddle up, cowboy. You didn't want a trip to Disney World. You want a trip to Iraq. And you think about that. You think about the impact of that. You think about the impact. You think of the families of that. How do you exponentially do the math on that? 35,000 individuals. How many people? How many family members does that add up to? Average of 10, maybe? Was that 350,000 people impacted, affected by this? You had friends in that? 100 people? Maybe 3 million? These are real life, real people that Pentagon has said, saddle up. And these are different than the Boy George's decision to deploy. Remember, Bush ordered earlier this year about 30,000 soldiers. According to the Army, these brigades would deploy for up to 15 months. The Army has also said that close to 1,000 additional support troops from the U.S. Army Reserves would also deploy in August. And these would come from two units, an engineer battalion from Fort Thomas, Kentucky, and a signal battalion from Fort Huachuca in Arizona. I know I botched that, but it's in Arizona. The 10 brigades, in case you're wondering, that have been deployed to leave in August. To leave this fall. The 2nd Stryker Cavalry Regiment in Germany, the 4th Brigade, 3rd Infantry Division at Fort Stewart, Georgia, the 1st, 2nd, 3rd Brigade of the 101st Airborne Division from Fort Campbell, Kentucky, the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment from Fort Hood, Texas, the 2nd Brigade, 1st Armored from Germany, the 4th Brigade, 10th Mountain Division from Fort Polk, Louisiana, the 2nd Brigade, 25th Infantry Division from Hawaii, and the 1st Brigade, 4th Infantry Division from Fort Hood, Texas. And that's who got their orders that they will be deploying come this fall. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. Boy George said it was a slip of the tongue, his comment about Queen Elizabeth. And I guess if it were a different person, you would accept that, but you have to, you know, you look at somebody that has been caught in so many lies. You look at somebody that has a history of insulting people. And yeah, and you look at the fact that this guy is dumb. You know, you look at all those things, and you can draw your own conclusion about whether or not it was a slip of the tongue, or whether or not he was using the fact that everybody knows that he's not particularly intellectually, what's the word I'm looking for, capable. And you draw your own conclusion about whether or not you think it was intentional or not. Was the Queen able to get a good one off on him? Yeah. But I wonder about all of the discussions that happened in between that. Because a contrite George W. Bush, when the Queen of England made her comment, said, I don't have anything to say. Trust me. All kinds of things are done diplomatically, and people are made to say all kinds of things behind the scenes and deal with all kinds of things. A slip of the tongue. 1-877-920-WGNU. Why, if he made a mistake, why didn't he correct it when he made it? Why didn't he correct it when he made it? If he made a mistake, instead of winking. Ooh, my name. Say my name. My name is Liz Brown. Get to me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 28 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 64 at 159 and 157. Look for an accident that's over on the east side near Illinois 157. Jefferson at Arsenal. Look for an accident there. Loughborough at Morgan Ford. There's also an accident there as well. Eastbound 70 from K through 79. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into West Florissant. Look for delays. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic in the left lanes. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue into the 5570 split. Look for it starting to stack up this hour. Northbound 270 between 44 and Doherty Ferry. Look for heavy volume already around the 44 exchange. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason Road. You've got heavy volume there. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270. Look for some delays there as you have heavy volume going on there as well. And westbound 40 between Vandeventer and Boyle. That accident's been cleared and traffic is starting to move freely in that area. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to partly sunny skies, chance of showers and thunderstorms, high in the lower 80s. This evening, mostly cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms, low in the mid-60s. Thursday, partly cloudy, or mostly cloudy, with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, high around 80. And Friday, pretty much the same, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day, but there's still a chance of showers with a high in the lower 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 66 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 68 and some clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
In honor of the 82nd birthday, and in honor of the legacy of Malcolm X, the Universal African People's Organization invites you to attend an international symposium focused on Africa and her largest country, the Sudan. Guest presenters will include the Ambassador of the Republic of the Sudan, John Luth UK, Akbar Mohammed, founder of Youth for Africa Foundation, and Zaki Baruti, President General of UAPO. And in special honor to the legacy of Malcolm X, awards will be presented to the students who changed the world by fearlessly engaging in the sit-in at City Hall. So, come on out, join us at Tegeler Hall at St. Louis University, 3550 Lindell Boulevard, Friday, May 18th at 7:30 p.m. And we will celebrate the memory of Malcolm X together. Be there.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care. Still connected to the community.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Good morning. Now, I don't mean to be a nudge, but have you taken your vitamins this morning? Are you out of them? Do you have any idea of what you should be taking? Well, not to worry. Golden Grocer, with over 30 years' experience in the health food industry, is here to help. Give them a call at 367-0405, and they can take your order over the phone and ship your vitamins right off to you. Or, if you have no idea of what you can be taking, Golden Grocer can give you a quick vitamin assessment over the phone, you can make your selections, and they can ship them off to you. How easy is that? That number again is 367-0405. 877-367-0405. So live your life like it's golden. And take your vitamins.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Everything will be all right. He assures her, but she doesn't hear a word that he says. Preoccupied, she's afraid. Afraid what they've been doing's not right. He doesn't.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name, my name, my name, say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up, get to me. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Ooh, it's hard to be George W. Bush. It's hard. He wasn't kidding. It's hard. Top members of George Bush's national security team are leaving in one of the earliest waves of departures from a second-term administration 2 years before his term ends. This is really rather early. This is really rather early. Turnover is normal, as many of you would suspect. Turnover is normal as the administration nears its end, but this is a high number. You would expect to see vacancies arise as things wind down, but it's about 6 months early for this kind of mass exodus. They're leaving. They're leaving, and they're leaving early. As the war gets worse, they're leaving. Check this out. A U.S. combat brigade commander, a colonel, was shot by a sniper while surveying a construction of a wall to protect the Sunni Arab enclave in Baghdad. You want me to say that again so that you can understand how, where we are in Iraq? A combat brigade commander was shot by a sniper while surveying the construction of a wall to protect the Sunni Arab enclave in Baghdad. He's in Baghdad. He's shot. Now understand that this isn't a wall that has been built. This is a wall that has drawn all kinds. Now this is a wall that, this is the idea that we bring, that this administration brings to fixing what's going on in Iraq. Let's build a wall. It's going to work on the Mexico border, and it worked real well in Germany. Let's build a wall. Let's build a wall. A 3-mile wall with concrete barriers up to 12 feet, and it's worked great with the Palestinians. It's all good. 2 thumbs up to the wall. 12 feet high, 3 miles long, and a colonel that was surveying the construction of it yesterday was shot by a sniper. That, and again, this is a wall that's being built to protect them from others. Al-Maliki ordered a halt to the construction. The Iraqi military said later it was modifying the plan to use barbed wire and smaller cement barriers. This is our plan. How's that working for us? You want to know why top security chiefs are leaving in droves? Well, the building of a wall, how well that's working. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And in case you were missing it because you were watching mainstream news, you would have missed this. More than half of the members of Iraq's parliament rejected the continuing occupation of their country. Half of the members of Iraq's parliament, 144 lawmakers, signed on to a legislative petition calling on the United States to set a timetable for withdrawal. How significant is this? Well, children, it's a hugely significant development. Lawmakers that are now demanding an end to the occupation have the upper hand in the Iraqi legislature for the first time. They've tried to pass, and then the other piece of this news story is that they've tried to pass this legislation before, but they didn't have 138 votes to pass. 144 lawmakers signed on to it. This petition, which is non-binding, will be presented to the Speaker of the Iraqi Parliament, and there will be a demand that this be put to a vote. Now, there are some difficulties ahead based upon the language of this the legislation and the rules that were written by us, there's going to be a challenge. And it is unclear what's going to happen next. And is it ironic or is it just the way that it's supposed to be? We're over here dickering and dandering over timelines. Rahm Emanuel. Typical. No, let's give George what he wants. Give George what he wants. Get a baby what he wants. Well, we're dickering over the timelines. Well, guess what? In Baghdad, they're making the same claims as well. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. You want to, shift gears with me here for a second? I want to talk about something different here. I'm going to talk about something different because we're going to be easing into the St. Louis Public Schools Watch, the Schools Watch here in just a second. I want you to take a journey with me about drug use. I do. I want to do that. And I'm going to do that when I come back after the break, but let me get to some of your calls, questions, and concerns. Clifford, good morning.
Liz?
Yes.
Okay. I called yesterday, but I couldn't get my point together, you know. But basically what I was calling about, you know, is I don't think Iraq was included in the Axis of Evil, were they? Okay.
No, we didn't go to war with anybody in the Axis of Evil.
Okay, well, that's ironic, isn't it?
No, it's planning this administration style, George W. Bush style.
Right. Okay, well, I believe America picked Iraq because, you know, they felt like it was the weakest link. And they feel like...
Which part of America are you talking about?
I'm talking about this American administration.
Okay, so this administration. Okay,
right.
I just want to make sure because
okay.
I sure didn't pick them.
Okay, yeah, because I can't include the whole.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I think they picked Iraq because they felt like, you know, if they went over there and crippled that country and bombing them like they did initially, they would make all the other Middle East countries fall in line in submission.
See, I wish it was something as that easy from my perspective, Clifford. It's about three little letters, O-I-L, oil. That's
yeah.
what this
okay.
is about.
Okay, right, right. And all of them possess oil over there. Right.
Well, actually, nobody possesses oil like Iraq does.
Uh-huh.
Iraq has the easiest oil to get to and one of the largest untapped oil deposits in the world.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, they were talking about, you know, later on, you know, when they found out, you know, that their plan didn't work. They were talking about especially what's the guy with the rocks in his jaws? Put the white hair, 70 years old.
Talking about Dick Cheney?
No. He's running for president.
Oh, you're talking about John McCain.
Right, right. Okay, he was talking about they didn't send enough troops over there initially. But initially, they thought those bombs were going to cripple those people. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And you can take a bomb, and it's equivalent to 100 men. And look at all the bombs that they dropped over there. You
and
know,
we're still losing.
Huh?
And we're still losing.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for your call, Clifford.
All right. Thank you, Liz.
We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Stay with me. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears. 3425 Union. Black owned and black operated. Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
The St. Louis Art Museum presents Fridays After 5, a free weekly series of live music on Sculpture Terrace. This week, check out a performance by guitarist Elliot Ranney. For dinner reservations on the terrace, call Puck's Restaurant at 314-655-5490. For more information about the Fridays After 5 series, call 314-721-0072 or visit slam.org. News to you from WGNU.
Come home after a hard day and just start in on me, you know, like, hey, how's your day? How was school? What you got going on? I mean, it gave me the chills.
The time I got this wicked, cool scorpion tattoo on my shoulder, not even the whole arm, just the shoulder, and he grounded me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! And oh yeah.
Don't worry. They'll appreciate it. Eventually. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Have you been a dad today? For more information, visit fatherhood.org.
In honor of the 82nd birthday, and in honor of the legacy of Malcolm X, the Universal African People's Organization invites you to attend an international symposium focused on Africa and her largest country, the Sudan. Guest presenters will include the Ambassador of the Republic of the Sudan, John Luth UK, Akbar Mohammed, founder of Youth for Africa Foundation, and Zaki Baruti, President General of UAPO. And in special honor to the legacy of Malcolm X, awards will be presented to the students who changed the world by fearlessly engaging in the sit-in at City Hall. So, come on out, join us at Tegeler Hall at St. Louis University, 3550 Linda Boulevard,
Friday, May 18th at 7:30 p.m. And we will celebrate the memory of Malcolm X together. Be there.
Be in the know as you're on the go with Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Because you want to know what you're going to get in me. Just a little touch of star quality.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff. Lord, yes, all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to talk about Iraq and this so-called surge or surging that we were supposed to, not we, but this regime plan to make things better for the war on our behalf. And the surge, I don't know how many troops that they sent because they were talking about thousands. We never did get a report of just how many they did send, but it appears that it's making matters worse because now Kurdistan, this is a report I've heard, that Kurdistan, which was usually a peaceable part of Iraq, is now there's bombing there. There was a big car bomb that exploded recently that killed hundreds of people in Kurdistan. And also, there was a report that there was a shooting from helicopters on the Iranian border that killed school children. They reported that it was maybe 8 or 10, but if they say 8 or 10, you could probably triple that number. And now, this happened in Kurdistan, and then the school children being killed in the at the Iranian border. Seems like it's getting worse.
Yep. It doesn't seem like it. Yeah, it is.
I mean, because we did, like I said, that this in Kurdistan, the that area there was where people went to sort of get away from and have a respite from all of the bombing, and now they're bombing there. Now, this has happened after the surge, which is supposed to quiet things down. So I don't know. It's just, I don't know what to say. It's just seems like it's getting worse. And there's a place, I can't think of the name right now, Dubai. Have you heard of that?
Of course.
Now, this, what is this place? I hear that it's supposed to be some kind of a resort.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear that this is where it's like it's been equated to where all Iranians, and they said the CIA is there and other Iranians who are working for the CIA, they all meet there and I guess strategize as the Iranians that's working for the CIA, how they can put them in different
Well,
trouble.
It's closer than Vegas.
Yes, it is.
Okay, I got to go. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. Yes, you need to get to me. We have much to talk about. prescription drug use is up with young people. Now, it depending upon which report you look at, they all seem to conclude the same thing, that that prescription drug use is up among young people. And we're not talking all, not among young girls, we're not talking young women, we're not talking about OxyContin, and we're not talking about Vicodin. Okay? One of the things, there was a project, Young Women's Empowerment Project, talked to more than 400 girls in the Chicago area. And the drugs that they're using, marijuana, alcohol, are the most prevalent, followed by crystal meth, heroin, ecstasy, powder cocaine, and club drugs. What they're saying out in the streets is that drug use among kids, young people, it's not pills. Now, it's interesting. One of the things that they have discovered is that a lot of kids get access to these drugs by simply going into their parents' medicine cabinets. They're taking drugs like Xanax, Valium, Ativan. But what is interesting is that a lot of kids are taking, because there's so many pharmaceuticals out there now that are diagnosing and then treating with pills, kids out here, that there is a growing industry, trade, if you will, of using these drugs to sell to other kids and for kids to be using that. And guess who the largest group of, when you take a look at drug use and over prescription and over-the-counter drug use, we're talking about young white males. We're talking about mostly white young men who get caught stealing cough medicine from local pharmacies. And they're hooked on the same drug that Rush Limbaugh loves past his heart. Want to be like Rush, apparently. That's where the spikes in drug use is coming from. So we have meth, we have OxyContin, Russia's drug. And the biggest users of that are young white guys. And when you think about it, that because so many of these drug challenges that face young people, this drug use that young people are engaging in, involves a lot of named medicines. It's going to be interesting to see the government's response to this, because so many in the government rely upon those pharmaceuticals for the money that they get. And if you want any more proof of it, just look at the piece of legislation that was beat back by the Democratic-controlled Senate. The bill that would have allowed Americans to go find cheaper drugs anywhere they could. Pharmaceutical industry is a very powerful thing. In our Democratic-majority Senate, they beat that back because they're concerned about your safety. More like the safety of their pocketbooks. My name is Liz Brown. The School Watch. It's coming right at you. And then we're going to be going to talk about, we're going to be going to Italy. Yes, we are. We are going to be going to Italy to talk about, and what is being reported as, a huge anti-U.S. uproar sweeping Italy. We're going to be talking about that. in the 8 o'clock hour. You need to stay with us. There's so much more. And then we're going to be talking about Superfunds and super waste dumps and where's the money going and what's being cleaned up. It's a full ride this morning on the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
The progress is healing the wound. That's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brothers. Stop being resistant.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino,
issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. President Bush gets a look at tornado-flattened Greensburg, Kansas today. More from ABC's Dan Compton at the White House.
There's not a single building left unscathed in Greensburg. Mayor Lonnie McCollum has been living in his pickup truck.
Every friend I've got is homeless too, you know. And so we're all having to really scramble. And there's just not enough resources right now.
The White House press secretary insists there is plenty of heavy machinery available in the region. He denies too much National Guard equipment was shipped to Iraq. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The president may also see another side effect of days of stormy weather in the Midwest, floods from the Dakotas to Oklahoma. Authorities in L.A. want to know if the wildfire that's burned the famous Griffith Park was caused by a discarded cigarette. Police officer says the man who tossed it was badly burned trying to put out the flames. Thousands have been evacuated, including this man.
He rapped on the front door and said, come on, you're getting out. So I grabbed the cat and left.
The animals at the L.A. Zoo were also evacuated. The FBI says it stopped a major terror attack in the nick of time. Now six New Jersey men are under arrest, accused of plotting to raid Fort Dix.
Court papers say the men thought they have easy access to the Army post here by posing as pizza delivery men. The father of one of the suspects owned a pizza place, and his son used to deliver to Fort Dix. But the suspect's father says his son's no terrorist and believes the arrest was the result of religious persecution.
ABC's Aaron Katursky at Fort Dix. Vice President Cheney is in Iraq. It was a surprise stop on a multi-nation Mideast trip. He's meeting with U.S. troops and the Iraqi government. Tennessee has carried out its first execution in years. Philip Workman was convicted in 1981 in the murder of a Memphis police officer. We're told that he declined his last meal. Instead, Workman asked corrections officers to send a vegetarian pizza to a homeless man. They told him no. This is ABC News.
Our next life exercise, fixing copier paper jam. 4, 3, 2, 1. Grab copier part mark number 6. And pull. And pull. Grab deeply jammed paper. Lift. And tug. Press reset button quickly. And press. And press. Now kick and press and kick and press and kick. And press.
Life is exercise. Snickers Marathon is energy. Great tasting, nutritious, long-lasting energy for the demands of your day. Grab a Snickers Marathon in the energy bar aisle.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks.
Okay, Kenny, try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please.
Queen Elizabeth wrapped up her visit to the U.S. with dinner for President and Mrs. Bush at the British Embassy, and she poked a little fun at the President.
I wondered whether I should start this toast saying, when I was here in 1776.
The joke was in reference to a slip-up by the President mentioning the Queen's trip to the U.S. for the bicentennial in 1776, not 1976. There's a move underway to keep Paris Hilton out of jail.
It's premature for Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to get involved in the Paris Hilton case, according to his press secretary, Aaron McClear.
It would
would be inappropriate for the governor to insert himself in this battle until the individual has exhausted all of his or her legal remedies. And at this point, I don't think that's the case.
McClear says the governor has received no formal request to consider a pardon, but Schwarzenegger has received individual emails from constituents both for and against a gubernatorial pardon for Paris Hilton.
ABC's Dave Alpert, and I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
It's time for an update of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, the Belleville News Democrat reports East St. Louis School District 189 is spending big bucks on top-of-the-line computers, but not for the students. The computers are for the board members. Documents obtained by the paper reveal District 189 approved the purchase of 12 new laptops at $3,100 apiece, plus another $59,000 in board-related technology. The new computers, known as tablet PCs, have the capability to convert written words to text compared to basic laptops, which sell for around $700. In other news, St. Louis travelers now have a new, low-cost way to fly out of town. Atlanta-based AirTran Airlines began flying out of Lambert Field yesterday. AirTran's offering 4 daily flights to Atlanta with connections to 56 other destinations. AirTran, originally known as Value Jet Airlines, was established in 1992 to fill a void at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport after the demise of Eastern Airlines. And your mail carrier may be picking up more this Saturday than they deliver. The National Association of Letter Carriers is conducting its 15th annual Stamp Out Hunger food drive. Residents wishing to participate can donate non-perishable food items by leaving them in a bag in or near their mailboxes by 9 o'clock Saturday morning. Donations will be sorted and taken to local food pantries. And that's this hour's update of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston for AM 920.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic. A lot going on. Manchester at McCausland, look for an accident reported. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect slow traffic at the top of that ramp. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh through McKnight, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for delays. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into West Florissant, look for some slowdowns there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect slow traffic, especially in the left lanes. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue into the 5570 split. Look for some slowdowns there as well. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Doherty Ferry. Look for some delays around the 44 exchange. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason Road. You've got some slowdowns. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for some slowdowns as well. Northbound 270 from Clayton through Ladue. Look for heavy volume. Westbound 40 between McCausland and 170, look for some slowdowns. And northbound 270 at Dorset and 70, look for some delays there as well, especially in the 70 exit lanes. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to partly sunny skies, a chance of showers this afternoon with a high in the lower 80s. This evening, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers, low in the mid-60s. For Thursday, mostly cloudy, a good chance for showers with a high around 80. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy. Once again, showers and thunderstorms are expected with a low in the lower 60s. Then on Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day with a high in the lower 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920, WGNU, we have 67 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting some clouds and 71. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, it's St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs and Liz Brown. That's on the way. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution.
to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. It's Wednesday. I'm here with Peter Downs. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good this morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a critical. These are some critical days here. These are some critical days up in the Missouri legislature.
Yes, absolutely. This last, last 7-8 days of the legislative session.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in a big rush to pass anything they can pass.
And one of the things that is of grave concern, and we've talked about it a number of times on this show, is Francis Lay's effort to crown himself king, give himself the ability to make any charter school that he wants to make. And I know I've talked to a couple of legislators, and I know that he has been attempting to attach that bill of his. Jeff Smith, his flunky, is trying to attach that bill to anything that moves, just about that piece of the bill to anything that moves. It was my understanding that he attempted to attach it to the Mohila bill that just passed.
Yeah, as far as I know, he was not successful in that.
But he had attempted to attach it to that. Because he's, again, because there's such a flurry of bills out there, people are trying to attach little pieces of things to little pieces of other things, trying to get their stuff through.
That's right.
So what should people, we really should be on our legislators right now and calling up there and making certain that they're on the task, right?
Right. Call them, your state rep and your state senator, and express your opposition to things like more charter schools, like the transition district bill.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two biggies right there.
Okay. And then in opposition bills that are going on up there, the voucher bill, the voucher piece is killed.
The voucher piece is killed, though, again, so that might come up, try to attach to another bill.
And then we
so watch for that.
And go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, this week there was the quote-unquote study that was released. I think the Post-Dispatch did the most fawning article on it. You know, supposedly saying that everybody supports vouchers.
Well, and I looked at that. That was 600 people, right? They say it was 600 people. But who were the people that did the study?
Well, they also don't say what questions were asked, and we know how crucial that is.
Absolutely, absolutely. And also, we don't know, because the voucher piece would impact and affect the city of St. Louis and Kansas City the most. Where were these people asked? And again, like what you said, what were they asked? I mean, did they ask people down in the Boot Hill, do you think that fixing the St. Louis public schools, that it wouldn't hurt? You know, and maybe the answer was yes. We don't know what the questions were. We don't know who the firm was. We don't know who paid them. And we don't know.
Well, we do know who paid them.
Who paid them?
All right,
them?
Show Me Institute paid them. And one of the things then.
Now, who's on Show Me Institute board?
Well, the head of it, the guy who funds it.
Yes.
The guy named Rex Singfeld.
Let's talk about him.
And I want to say, so other newspaper articles elsewhere in the state talked about him. Mm-hmm. And so they talked about how he has donated hundreds of thousands of money to candidates to support vouchers.
There you go.
His institute that he set up, Show Me Institute, they had a forum earlier in the year promoting vouchers. They've had articles in the newsletter supporting vouchers. And they reported this because he apparently said in his interviews with reporters, oh, we've taken no position on vouchers. And so, you know, they contrasted
his claim
uh-huh. with what they've actually done.
But it was interesting when that story, I guess maybe it's just kind of like sometimes when you send things through the internet or the world, sometimes files come corrupted or there's not the same quality from machine to machine. Because when that story got sent to St. Louis, all of that somehow was magically removed from the article.
Well, no, I'm saying the articles and papers like the Columbia Tribune talked about that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but the Post-Dispatch
That's what I'm saying. So maybe when they made the phone call, they got the internet transmissions, maybe a file got corrupted because all of that, or none of that, was in the article and that when it made it to the Post-Dispatch. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting and telling? We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Peter Downs. This is the School Watch, and we have to have a conversation of where is Craig now? Craig Williams. What do they call it? What do they say? Never mind. I'll be back. Stay with me. In honor of the 82nd birthday and in honor of the legacy of Malcolm X, the Universal African Peoples Organization invites you to attend an international symposium focused on Africa and her largest country, the Sudan. Guest presenters will include the Ambassador of the Republic of the Sudan, John Luth UK, Akbar Mohammed, founder of Youth for Africa Foundation, and Zaki Baruti, President General of UAPO. And in special honor to the legacy of Malcolm X, awards will be presented to the students who changed the world by fearlessly engaging in the sit-in at City Hall. So, come on out. Join us at Tegeler Hall at St. Louis University, 3550 Linda Boulevard, Friday, May 18th at 7:30 p.m. And we will celebrate the memory of Malcolm X together. Be there.
It's the Hour to Empower, presenting information to the nation, hosted by Minister Ernest Greenlee, Reverend James Willoughby, Mr. Rabbani, Miss Daisy, and Doc Brown, bringing solutions to the needs of the people, the church, the pastors, the seniors, the youth, and the community. How to manage your credit and debt, job loss protection that pays bills up to $2,000 a month, and lots more great financial information. That's the Hour to Empower, bringing value to your life, every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920. WGNU.
We all know the scenario. You see a for sale sign and think, I want to invest, but real estate is complicated. Well, help is here. Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land of the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
We're the host of WGNU's newest show, Let's Get Wealthy. Our show provides real techniques for the everyday consumer on how to own a home and build wealth.
Tune in to Let's Get Wealthy every Wednesday at 11 a.m. because today is the day to get wealth for yourself. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Miss Breeze. This is Taylor Mitchell calling you from a clean school, second grade room 209. Miss Liz, I'm having a great year. I love you. I love the beautiful necklace, African necklace that you gave me. Miss Liz, did you ever know that you're my hero? You are the best I ever know, just like my teacher. Because you are the star of my eye, just like my teacher. I'm in room 209 where dignity reigns supreme. Have a happy summer. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake-Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. And where is Craig Williams? Where is Craig Williams today? So where is Craig? Well, first, before we get to where Craig Williams is as exhausting as it will be, let's kind of track the trail of Craig since he exited St. Louis. Talk to us about where Craig has bounced from. And who is Craig Williams?
Yes, Craig Williams is a former superintendent, mm-hmm. St. Louis Public Schools, hired by Darnita Klingscale, Vince Jamel, Ron Jackson,
and Francis Slay.
He
didn't have a superintendent credential when he got here. He didn't have superintendent credential for most of the time that he was here, and he had never been superintendent of any place before he got here.
No, this was his first superintendent's job.
And he got paid.
And apparently his last.
And apparently his last, because and he got paid $300,000 to take this gig.
Yeah, it was quite a bump in pay, because mm-hmm. he left the job paying $163,000.
His job before the one that Francis Lay hired.
That's right. Okay. He was the deputy chief academic officer in Philadelphia.
He wasn't even the chief
academic officer.
He was the deputy chief academic officer. He was making $163,000. He came to St. Louis. Francis Slay got him here, and he got his crew to give him the gig and made a big deal about him. He's going to come and change things. He couldn't even get the deputyship at his old place, but he's going to change things here. $300,000. He's not here anymore. Then where'd he go?
Well, after a few months laying low, I guess, mm-hmm. he got a
making phone calls.
That's right. A buddy from Chicago. He's originally from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he got to Philadelphia. That's how he got to Philadelphia. He followed somebody from Chicago, Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So another buddy from Chicago was heading up the Prince George's County School District in Maryland,
mm-hmm.
and put him on the job there overseeing high schools.
Mm-hmm.
And
it wasn't a superintendent's job. It was overseeing high schools.
It was overseeing high schools. Mm-hmm. And he had accepted that it was a temporary position now, but it was going to become permanent next year.
Mm-hmm.
He agreed he's going to oversee high schools there next year. Then, within weeks of accepting that, he reneged and said, no, he was out applying for superintendent's jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And there were probably at least two or three that he interviewed for. Toledo was one.
Mm-hmm.
Then, even before...
Toledo said, oh, no.
Yeah, okay. even before Toledo announced who they had picked,
mm-hmm.
It was announced that he was taking the job as the... Basically, as the principal of an alternative high school, it was an alternative high school that serves five rural districts in western Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So let's
just do this for a second. He went from a deputy chief academic officer to bling bling here in St. Louis, a superintendent, $300K. Then he tried to get a job as a high school director? What was
director
it?
Of high schools.
Director,
yeah.
Director of high schools.
Yes.
Okay.
He had that one locked up,
okay.
But apparently he said no, or whatever reason. Something may have happened there. I don't know about, but he's
director.
The
of
word
high
there
schools.
Was that he had that job for next year.
A director of high schools, and he said, no, I don't want that job. I want to look for superintendent's job, and he ended up taking what basically amounts to. A principalship.
Basically a principalship. I mean, I think it's over two or three schools, but over two or three alternative schools serving a handful of small districts in western Michigan.
So how's that working out for him?
Well, that was, a month, 2 months ago announced he was taking that job for next year.
Mm-hmm.
So he's all set for next year. He apparently has turned his back on that now.
And
his old Chicago buddy who took him to Philadelphia and is now going to New Orleans.
Oh,
and, you know, bent a finger towards him and...
And so now he's running off to
New Orleans.
So isn't that something? So when we look at the trail of Craig Williams, nobody has gone out and pursued him. Okay, nobody from Philadelphia said, oh, I heard this guy over in Chicago is doing this great job over here, buddy to buddy, hookup to hookup. And I'm not mad at anybody because hookup is a way a lot of folks get gigs. But when you look at every single one of the gigs that he's getting now, there's a connection between hookup. And there's also a search firm hookup in this as well, isn't there?
That's right. All of the, I noticed that all of the places where Craig Williams was
being considered
mm-hmm. for superintendent were places that used the same search firm that brought him to St. Louis for Francis Slay and Vince Famil.
He is going to New Orleans, and who knows how much he's going to be paid, because that's going to be consulting consulting type of a gig. But I guess stay tuned till next week, or stay tuned for a couple months from now, and we'll do another Where is Craig Now piece, because who knows where he's going to be in another few months. So
that's right. Well, and I'm wondering here, you know, this is the guy he's working for, Paul Vallis, he's mm-hmm. leaving Philadelphia, and I think you mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago
mm-hmm.
about the increasing demands in Philadelphia to give the public control
exactly.
of the schools again.
Back.
That
mm-hmm.
that this appointed group just hasn't done the job.
It hasn't worked, hasn't been capable, hasn't done the job. So now the Philadelphia schools chief, Paul Vallis, is taking on a job in New Orleans. 1-877-920-WGNU. Let's talk, Peter, if we will, about the task that is in front of us here of this district in these critical upcoming months. We have to talk about the issue of our school population. Because
yes.
of what has been done out here, the efforts that are afoot and directed at this district to take over the district, to replace the district with a three-person board, because of those efforts, there are a lot of parents out here that are being put in extraordinarily needless, difficult positions of what do I do with my child? And you're a school board member. Let's talk about that challenge to parents, because you're a parent. You have
right.
kids in the St. Louis public schools. What kind of what's going through parents' minds right now? You've talked to parents. You're a parent.
I think there's a lot of worry going through parents' minds,
mm-hmm.
mainly. You know, people don't know what is going to happen next year. And we as the school board, we don't know what's going to happen next year.
Mm-hmm.
But parents, you know, they aren't looking at what's going to happen to all the buildings and employees and courses and transportation. The parents are looking at what's going to happen to my child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this school going to be here? Who's going to be in this school? Are we going to have qualified teachers? What is it all going to mean?
Mm-hmm.
How long is it? Will the school day run, even?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of parents, you know, when it comes to your kids, you don't want a lot of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of parents are trying to figure out how can they get some stability for their children in the midst of this upheaval that the state has created.
And worry off their minds.
And worry off their minds, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As school board members, there's... I think the you know, one of the steps we've taken is really the main step that we can take. We've appealed the decision to revoke the accreditation.
Mm-hmm.
The appeal has gone in. We're arguing that really that there's no basis in fact or law for it, that we both meet the standards, and that DESE
wrongfully concluded.
Well, they wrongfully concluded, and that they violate some of their own rules to wrongfully conclude.
There is so much uncertainty here that is manufactured uncertainty. Now we don't even know what the filing of the appeal does, because we need clarity on does the filing of the appeal stay the decision, and we don't have Sullivan hasn't been appointed and hasn't even been vetted yet with his senator. So what's going to happen with that? I mean, there is uncertainty on top of uncertainty on top of uncertainty.
That's right, Magnus Wolf.
We'll talk about that when we come back. We're taking a break. I'm here with Peter Downs. This is the Schools Watch. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 40 between McCausland and 170. Look for slow traffic in Manchester and McCausland. Look for an accident there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. That ramp is starting to stack up at this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into the landing is moving slowly. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to 270. Look for some slowdowns around the 270 exchange. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for pockets of slow traffic as well. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry in the West Florissant. Look for some delays. Westbound 5570 from 64 into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for heavy delays, especially in the left-hand lanes. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Doherty Ferry. Look for slowdowns around the 44 exchange. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason. You've got some slowdowns as well. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. It is very heavy at this hour, as well as northbound 55 from Butler Hill through the 270-255 exchange. Look for slowdowns. And northbound 270 from Dorset into 70. Look for slowdowns in the right-hand lanes as you approach the exits onto Highway 70. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, partly sunny in the morning, then becoming mostly cloudy by the afternoon. Chance of showers with a high in the lower 80s. This evening, mostly cloudy. Another chance for showers, low in the mid-60s. Thursday, mostly cloudy. A 40% chance of showers with a high around 80. Thursday evening, cloudy, chance of showers with a low in the lower 60s. And Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day with a high in the lower 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 69 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 72 and clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs is on the way. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing. Thank you.
Praise the Lord, St. Louis. This is Elder Ernest Doris, yours truly, doing my duty, live in the loop on WGNU, 920 on your AM dial. It's the Highway to Heaven radio broadcast every Saturday at 8:30 in the AM. So tune in for the latest church news and the best gospel music in town.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Good
Good morning, Miss Liz.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Dontrell Busby calling you from McLean School, second grade room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Ruth. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufaray. And Ruth was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our awards day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Dr. Busby from 209 for Dignity. Rise Supreme. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Liz Brown, and I'm talking to Peter Downs, of course, in St. Louis Public Schools Watch. So, Peter, we're talking about this almost uncertainty on top of uncertainty and on top of uncertainty challenge that's facing and confronting parents, because we're just talking about parents right now in the St. Louis Public Schools.
Right. And I want to emphasize a lot of the things that could happen, mm-hmm. you know, of children going to other districts, for example, with losing teachers, longer school day, all those things, are really follow from the district losing accreditation. Now, if our appeal to keep accreditation is successful, those things don't happen. Mm-hmm. Basically, that there's uncertainty. The appeal has been sent in. Kent King has responded that he will recommend a hearing, but we don't have any hearing date. Mm-hmm. We don't know when it's going to be. If it is not before June 15th is the date the board has set for when the district would lose its accreditation.
The state board has set.
Yes, the state board has set. If the hearing is not before then, I think it's certain that we, the local school board, will go to court to seek an injunction to stop the loss of accreditation, at least until after that hearing.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, then there would be a lawsuit filed to stop it after that.
That's right. If the state board doesn't reverse itself mm-hmm. on taking away our accreditation, and that's one of the things here is the state board decided to take away our accreditation without hearing anything from us. Mm-hmm. Then we appeal to them to say, but please reconsider and let us present our case.
Mm-hmm. And legally we're entitled to do that, and legally the law says that, of course, the person that is being told that they have to do this has a right to present
right.
their case.
That's right.
It's the most un-American thing of all. You're going to do this, and we didn't have a right to present our case?
That's right. But the thing is, here are these people, they've already made the decision once, we're going back to them to reconsider. Mm-hmm. So you got to feel they're already biased in a certain way.
Well, yes, of course they're biased, but then let me ask you this question, because practicing law, the appellate system works in a different way than the trial court system works. So here we have a case where the state board has said, we're taking away your accreditation, it's going to happen in June. You've appealed that. Okay.
Right.
Then they make a decision. Then they look at them. We present the evidence, and they make a decision. Okay, we're going to again take away your accreditation. Is there an appeal to that?
No, that's when we go to the court system.
Okay. Okay. So there is no appeal to that.
Not within DESE.
Okay.
Right.
All right. And not within the state.
Within the state.
Okay.
Yeah. So we go to a circuit court then.
Okay. And so then another appeal would be.
And our lawyers are ready to do that.
Okay. So we have that. Going on.
We have that going on,
mm-hmm.
yes. Then in addition...
Can I just throw an aside out, something that
right.
I found out yesterday? I was talking to some kids, some of the kids from that engaged in this act of civil disobedience at Slay's office, and were successful. Did you know this, Peter, that some schools, the DESE came back to some schools in the city of St. Louis and said, you did so well on the MAP test that we want you to take the test over. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
And did you know that the teachers didn't know? And attached to this new MAP test that some of the schools were given, and it was just, the notice was that day, kids go down to this room and take this new MAP test. Okay? Attached to that was this survey about virtual high schools. Asking.
I'll have to ask about that.
Okay, asking kids what they thought about virtual high schools and wouldn't it be better if there was a choice like a virtual high school for you to go to? And my concern about this is that this is what I've been told that the state is considering pushing in lieu of letting kids from our district go to any high school, pushing kids into a virtual high school. Therefore, we wouldn't have this money issue. So have all these babies out here going to school online attached to, and I want to know who paid for that. I want to know how can you attach a survey like that to a MAP test, and I want to know who made a decision to make certain kids, certain places, take the MAP test over again.
Yeah, those are good. I hadn't heard about that.
Mm-hmm. I just
heard
about
it yesterday. Find that out. The virtual school is something legislature passed a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to start up with this coming school year. So it's something they have in place. That's open for kids across the state, but it's something the state legislature is doing.
Uh-huh. So going back to the other uncertainties that parents have to deal with as a result of this needless decision or act that they're trying to engage in.
Right, right. So it's, the thing is still uncertainty. There are parents who are looking, say, gosh, there's all this stuff going on with St. Louis schools. Can we send our kids someplace else? Can we send them out to the county? And if the district loses accreditation, then theoretically they could, but the county schools have to accept them.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so it's not clear that they'll even get that chance, depending upon whether or not we lose accreditation or not, because that's not certain yet. We have that appeal and then probably a court case afterwards. There is a resolution that's coming up before our school board, local school board, on Friday. We had a special meeting on Monday, and David Jackson brought this up, and so it was put on the agenda for Friday. And that's a resolution to ask the county school boards not to accept children transferring from St. Louis as a result of a loss of accreditation. That's a very different step to take than appealing the loss of accreditation.
I think that one of the things that everybody is concerned about, how do we stop this? How do we deal with this? How do we address this? And I think that we want to be very careful that we're not in a position of blocking somebody else's choice,
mm-hmm.
because that's our criticism of what's been done to us, that things have been done to this district where the district didn't have any say in it because somebody said so. I think that it is understandable that this district wants to do everything that it can and should do everything that it can to give parents and give the community the understanding of why they shouldn't be abandoning the district right now. I understand that, but I think that their caution needs to be engaged in when we put ourselves in a position of telling parents what you can and can't do with your child. I think
that's true, and you can see some of the impetus mm-hmm. for this, because we're discussing the budget mm-hmm. a lot, and of course the budget, both the revenue and expenses, depends on the number of kids we have in the district.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know how many children are going to be in the district, mm-hmm. if you don't know how many students you're going to have, it's very hard to plan.
Yes,
well, how many teachers do we need? How
yes,
many schools
yes.
do we need?
Yes,
how
yes.
many textbooks do we order? You
yes.
know, and so on and so forth. So, there's kind of this bureaucratic need to mm-hmm. have certainty as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? And a legitimate. I mean, mm-hmm. all of the concerns and demands for certainty are legitimate.
That's right.
I mean,
the
parents are absolutely legitimate in saying, I need to know what's going to happen with this district. And the district is legitimate in saying, I need to know how many kids are going to be in this district so I can do what I need to
do. That's right. That's right. So we have to be careful in how we respond in mm-hmm. trying to get that certainty, though.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, it can't be by dictate, mm-hmm. you know, saying, all right, nobody can do, mm-hmm. nobody can leave, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. We're going to lock you in so that we know how many there are.
Right.
We, you know, that wouldn't be right.
Right. And I don't think that anybody wants to be in that position of doing anything like that. It's just everybody is attempting to deal with these extraordinary amounts of uncertainty that we have. And for me, because I don't have a child in the St. Louis public schools, for me, my concern is different than a parent's concern. My concern is about some parents' concerns. My concern is about how do we protect one of the most valuable, or if not, some would say the most valuable and important asset that a city has, and that's its public school system. How do we do that? And I think that it is incumbent upon those of us that don't have children in this district, because the people that have children in this district are fighting a different type of a battle. And so I would say that the people that don't have kids in this district but live in this district, or live in this city, and people that don't live in this city who believe in public schools, we all need to be rallying around the needs of the St. Louis public schools, because it's the largest district in the state. And if they can kill the largest district in the state, make no bones about it, they are going to come after every other district. Now, it may not be with the same sword or same blunt object that they use to attack our district, but they will come after yours as well. We all, as a city community, as a regional community, and as a state community, need to be protecting and staying on the side of protecting the future of the largest school district in the state of Missouri. It cannot go down. It's like when the Titanic sank, there was this huge swirl of energy that went down with it, and if you were in that swirl, you were pulled down with it as well. Everybody will be pulled down if you take down the largest district in the state.
That's right, and I think we need to talk as we come back in some of the ways which in which the legislature, the state, is trying to take down St. Louis Public Schools in order to, so that if the takeover doesn't work, they're trying to worsen the education in St. Louis.
Exactly.
So it'll sink anyway.
Sink on its own volition.
That's right.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation. I'm talking to Peter Downs. This is the Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us. The place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Children will always outgrow us. But for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children has doubled. A problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children will use them. Log on to earthshare.org today and find out how you can help. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
Good morning. Now, I don't mean to be a nudge, but have you taken your vitamins this morning? Are you out of them? Do you have any idea of what you should be taking? Well, not to worry. Golden Grocer, with over 30 years' experience in the health food industry, is here to help. Give them a call at 367-0405, and they can take your order over the phone and ship your vitamins right off to you. Or, if you have no idea of what you can be taking, Golden Grocer can give you a quick vitamin assessment over the phone, you can make your selections, and they can ship them off to you. How easy is that? That number again is 367-0405, 367-0405. So live your life like it's golden, and take your vitamins.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
This is good morning, Miss Lee. This is Amir Mahoney calling you from LaCree School, second grade, from 409. Miss Lee, I had a good time with you. Miss Lee, our class is watching Roots. Kuta Kinte knows his roots. His mother name is Dita, and his father name is Amaru. Kinte has dignity. Have a good summer. This is Amir Muhammad from room 209, where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, and Peter, we were talking about the challenges that face the parents and the challenges that face the citizens and what people can be doing to and why people should be fighting this fight. And
right.
You were going to talk about some legislation.
Actually, I was going to talk about finances, actually.
Okay.
Not that I want to put anybody to sleep.
Right.
But a lot of the discussion right now and the way some of these resolutions are coming up are in the context of the budget and how do we plan for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the district's estimates are that we're going to lose something like 4,000 students. We'll have to cut the budget by something like $49 million,
mm-hmm.
Which is a huge amount.
Mm-hmm.
There's a different ways and things to do to add that up, but some of the challenges here are for one, and I'm not going into detail on this one, just because last week we talked about the money the city is withholding,
mm-hmm.
So that makes a difference. Then we have this $7 million that the state says we have to repay ourselves, and I know that sounds strange, but we have a budget there, or we have a fund of money for building new schools. Nobody thinks we need to build new schools for a long while,
mm-hmm.
but we have this fund for building new schools that Roberti borrowed from to cover the debt when he was here. And we're supposed to start repaying that debt. Then the state says, you got to take $7 million out of your operating money and put it back into this fund for building new schools. Now, even the state says, part of DESE's proposal for the transition board is to forgive that, say they don't have to do it. And so we're saying, well,
why can't you do it?
Why not do that now?
Yeah,
that's right. If that's something that needs to be done, do it now. Because that's $7 million there. It's a total of I think $26 million in total over the next few years. But that's $7 million right there.
Mm-hmm.
There's the charter schools. So this alternative system, as you pointed out, which is not accountable to anybody, academically doesn't have to meet any of the standards that St. Louis Public Schools have to do, and they are guaranteed their money. St. Louis Public Schools have to pay them.
Within 20 days.
Any cuts, so we have to cut from our own kids. State says, cut the quality of education you're giving your own children in order to make sure these
failed schools
get their money.
Mm-hmm.
And the estimate is that that'll be $53 million next year.
And mind you, Francis Lay is going up to Jefferson City to try and have the opportunity to create even more of these. What do they call those homes that you keep pouring money into that are unfixable? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Now I'm blocking on the term too.
Okay, but
money holes.
Money holes. Okay, he's going up to Jefferson City. Has gone up to Jefferson City for more money for these money holes. So. And I guess maybe this would be a good time to kind of segue into a meeting a conversation that Francis Lay had with some community people just this week, and the emphasis that he placed upon the private sector is going to fix the challenges that confront our community. And it's like he has this relationship with providing the private sector with all of the funding that they need, but the public sector, we don't get it.
It strikes me as really odd. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there, but St. Louis Schools Watch had a reporter there, Nick Clement, and he reported that the whole theme of Slay's comments were to this community group, don't look to government to help you rebuild your community. Don't look to the government for help. It's the private sector has to do it all. And at least, when I was growing up, I'd say most of the country said, the role of government, the role of the public sector is to
Build the public sector.
Build the public sector, right?
Yeah, that's
it is to take care of those things the private sector doesn't. Because the private sector is out to make money for itself.
That's correct.
The private sector is not there to serve the public.
That's correct. So I guess that there is a consistency, if you care to look and you care to watch, there is a consistency in what is what efforts Francis Lay is engaging in, what efforts Jeff Smith is engaging in, and what efforts that are being engaged in by the Republican-dominated House and Senate up in Jefferson City. This is all about finding means and ways to enhance the bottom line of business, private businesses, at the expense of St. Louis public schools and whatever public sector entities there are out there as well.
Yeah, I think that's true.
1-877-920-WGNU. Lindsay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. I was calling to ask you and Peter if you had considered the Missouri Constitution, because the governor and Slay are going against the Constitution. I want you to look at, and I have the lawyers to look at, Article 3, Section 40, and Numbers 21 under that, creating offices. The statute says that the General Assembly shall not pass any local or special law to number 21, creating offices, prescribing the powers and duties of officers in or regulating the affairs of counties, cities, townships, elections, or school districts, and number 24, regulating the management of public schools, the building or repairing of schoolhouses, and the raising of money for such purposes.
Thank you very much.
I hope that they put that they really make sure that that's adhered to when we have to file a suit against them, and maybe file a suit against the governor and Slate, because this is so wrong.
Thank you for your call.
So,
see, that's what happens when folks get a hold of stuff and start to analyze.
That's right. That's right. And yeah, thank you very much. And I'm sure lawyers have looked at that, but I will be sure if they haven't, they will.
And so. Here we are. We're school's not even over yet, and we're still engaged in, heavily engaged in, extraordinarily important battles.
Yes, yes, and I think we will be for several months. I know people want certainty, and I know a lot. There are a lot of people, and I recall Jeff Smith at a meeting recently, basically saying, "Oh, stop fighting, and you'll get certainty." It's basically his line, "Oh, stop fighting. This is going to happen. Just accept it." And that's one way, giving up,
mm-hmm.
Surrendering is one way of getting certainty.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the certainty that is helpful to anybody.
Or even our responsibility. I believe that living in a city and vesting in a city and being part of a city gives you, you have a responsibility to protect the valuable things in that city. And being part of a community, the St. Louis public schools have to be protected, because if it is easy to throw away the lives and the future of these children, trust me, somebody's not going to feel anything about you. It doesn't really stop with the kids. If there is a line of demarcation that is created by the taking away the accreditation of the school, that says that there are certain people in our society, in our community, in our city, in our state that have no value. And if that line is drawn, trust me, you're not going to be on the side of those that drew the line. You are not, because it's only a handful of folks on that side.
Well, and in farther than that, I think in the context of what's going on in St. Louis, what it's saying is the people in public school have no value, but also that those people and their families are people that Slay does not want in the city of St. Louis.
There you go. He doesn't care whether they're in the city of St. Louis. And what kind of leadership is that? What mayor, but truly a person that is a mayor of a city the size that St. Louis is, what mayor would engage in acts that knowing will cause people to leave the city, will cause businesses to shutter? I guess a mayor that only got 30,000 votes in the last election, that would be the mayor.
There's your answer.
There's my answer. All right, when's the next school board meeting?
We have a special meeting at noon on Friday.
Noon on Friday.
Down at 8:01.
Down at 8:01. Peter Downs, thank you so much. See you same time, same place on Wednesday.
See you next week.
All right. Listen, folks, we're going to be going to Italy. We're going to be talking about some major protests that are going on in Italy. What does that have to do with us? Well, because we're causing the protests up there. We're going to be going to Italy to talk about our government's attempt to build some new bases in Italy. Stay with me. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call.
The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I see it, I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to me, sisters.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white,
for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. President Bush heads to Kansas today to get a look at tornado-flattened Greensburg. ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
The White House press secretary flatly denies that too much National Guard equipment has been shipped to Iraq. Tony Snow rattled off a long list of gear available to those in Kansas. He says there's plenty of heavy machinery available in the region.
Residents across the state line in Missouri are dealing with another storm-related issue, flooding. ABC's Dean Reynolds has to tell.
All along the area of the Missouri River Basin, people are facing maybe 3 to 4 feet of water in their homes, the little towns dotting the area.
And they could use some rain in California, where firefighters are battling a huge, quickly burning wildfire in L.A. More from ABC's Alex Stone.
The conditions here are making this a tough firefight. It's extremely hot. Daytime temperatures have been in the upper 90s, and it's in remote terrain. So crews have had to literally hike in to stop the flames. We're on a roadside here. Flames are towering probably 30 feet high as they creep down toward Hollywood.
A pair of wildfires is also burning in Florida.
More than 1,000 residents have evacuated their homes, leaving behind charred and smoldering earth in some areas. I drove 4 hours to get here from Orlando, and there was smoke for about 3 of those hours, so the smoke is really far-reaching.
ABC's Gigi Stone. Vice President Cheney's in Iraq. No, it wasn't announced.
U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney arrived in Baghdad Wednesday morning on the first leg of a Middle East tour aimed at boosting chances of peace in Iraq. Cheney is expected to push Iraqi politicians hard to engage in reconciliation talks. The U.S. administration is becoming increasingly nervous about the lack of political progress in Iraq, even as the number of U.S. troops in Baghdad increases. Meanwhile, a car bomb exploded in the northern Kurdish city of Erbil, killing a large number of people. Car bombs are rare in the mostly peaceful Kurdish region of Iraq. Terry McCarthy, ABC News, Baghdad.
This is ABC News.
We all have some place we need to go. Goodyear Tires can help you get there. Right now, during the Goodyear Power to Get There tire sale, get up to a $40 mail-in cash card for the purchase of a set of 4 select Goodyear tires. Or double your cash card up to $80 when you make your purchase on your Goodyear credit card. Hurry in, because the Goodyear Power to Get There tire sale ends May 28th. For complete details and a location nearest you, visit GoodyearTires.com. Certain restrictions and conditions apply. Goodyear credit card purchases subject to credit approval.
I just peeked in your medicine cabinet.
Excuse me?
Yeah, wow.
I can explain.
How do you explain all those different pain relievers?
Oh, that. Well, I have one for headaches. I got another one when I hurt my back. And...
Stop. It's time to go all Advil. Advil is the every pain reliever.
Isn't there
something that's stronger or lasts longer? No.
So it'll work when my legs are sore from chasing down snoopers.
I suppose. Shouldn't you be all Advil?
Compared to OTC pain relievers, use as directed.
6 New Jersey men are under arrest, accused of plotting to attack Fort Dix. ABC's Aaron Katursky with details.
The 6 men are due in court Friday. Authorities have said they were inspired by the violent ideology of radical Islamists, but were not connected to a specific group. As for motive, court documents say one of the men was recorded saying, "When someone attacks your religion, your way of life, then you go jihad.
The feds say a video store clerk tipped them off after he was asked to copy a tape to DVD showing the men shooting guns and shouting the word jihad. Well, some are amazed that he lasted this long.
On this eighth week of competition, the couple with the lowest score, and therefore leaving right now. Billy Ray and Karina.
And Billy Ray Cyrus got the boot last night on ABC's Dancing with the Stars after 8 rounds of what could only be described as achy, breaky, herky, jerky performances. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
It's time for an update of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, Missouri Governor Matt Blunt has declared a state of emergency as flooding near the levels of the Great Flood of 1993 is expected this spring and summer. Blunt's declaration authorizes the mobilization of Missouri National Guard troops. Rivers and streams in northwest Missouri are already pouring over their banks. Flood levels are expected to reach the St. Charles County stretch of the Missouri River and the Merrimack River between St. Louis and Jefferson counties beginning today and lasting at least through the weekend. The Missouri is expected to crest over the weekend, and eventually the Mississippi will rise downtown in St. Louis as well. Yesterday, St. Louis City street crews assembled the big floodgates that plug the Poplar Street from the river's flow along Lenore K. Sullivan Boulevard. Most of the gate is assembled. Now the crews have to put up the heavy plates that turn it into a gate. Meanwhile, 5 burst levees along the Missouri River sent a deluge of water that submerged the tiny town of Big Lake yesterday. No injuries were reported. Most Big Lake residents had evacuated Monday, but a handful still had to be rescued by boat Tuesday. Big Lake's about 95 miles northwest of Kansas City. Nearby, the communities of Craig and Fortescue also were being threatened. And in Agency, a town of about 100 surrounded on 3 sides by the Platte River, most had already evacuated Tuesday. By midday there, a few homes were partially submerged, as were nearby roads and a cemetery. A flood risk assessment team to include MoDOT, SEMA, Missouri National Guard, the Department of Natural Resources, the Corps of Engineers, and the National Weather Service has been developed to work on projection maps to determine which counties have potential trouble spots for flooding and landslides. The Missouri State Highway Patrol is also conducting aerial surveillance of bridges and waterways. And that's an update of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 40 between McCausland and 170, look for slow traffic. Manchester at McCausland, there's a report of an accident there. Northbound Illinois Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge, it is slow this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from the Illinois Bank into the landing, although it is a little slow this morning. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight, you can expect delays. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, look for slowdowns around the 270 exchange. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, you've got slow traffic there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into West Florissant, look for delays. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect slowdowns there. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Doherty Ferry, expects heavy volume there. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason Road, you can expect some slowdowns. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44, it is slow. And again, Butler Hill through 270 north on northbound 55, you've got very heavy volume there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, partly sunny this morning, chance of showers and thunderstorms, high in the lower 80s this evening, mostly cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms with low in the mid-60s. For Thursday, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers with a high around 80, and Wednesday or Thursday evening, look forward to mostly cloudy, chance of showers, low in the lower 60s. Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day, a high in the lower 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 70 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm here.
hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want a toll-free long-distance me, that's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My goodness gracious, we have all kinds of stuff to talk about. We will be having a conversation in just a couple of minutes with some folks in Italy about Air Force bases, United States... the United States government attempting to make Vicenza, Italy, the largest U.S. military site in Europe. So far, folks are not happy with that. 1-877-920-WGNU. So we're going to be talking about that in just a few minutes. Here on the Wake Up Call, 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. You got to ask the question of the United States of America. You gotta ask the question about our good government.
You got to understand that the military of the United States maintains several hundred bases in other people's countries. Okay? Did you know that? And that many of the residents of these countries resent our presence there. Huh. In addition, it's also important to understand what this city looks like. And you need to understand that this is a story that our larger media is not telling you about. Building the largest military site in Europe. We need to talk to the people that are there, that are concerned about this. And we will be doing that this morning after this break. My name is Liz Brown. We're going to talk about fighting back against the United States government, building military bases other than in the United States. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Looking for the perfect gift? How about a delicious alternative? Candy Bouquet.
This Mother's Day, do something different. Let Candy Bouquet build a one-of-a-kind gift for your one-of-a-kind mom. Candy Bouquet uses only the finest gourmet candies and chocolates from around the world to create their arrangements. You choose the items, they do all the work. They'll even deliver it. Order today by calling 314-863-2263. That's 314-863-CANDY. Candy Bouquet, 620 North Skinker in the U City Loop. Visit CandyBouquet.com for more locations.
Good morning. Now, I don't mean to be a nudge, but have you taken your vitamins this morning? Are you out of them? Do you have any idea of what you should be taking? Well, not to worry. Golden Grocer, with over 30 years' experience in the health food industry, is here to help. Give them a call at 367-0405, and they can take your order over the phone and ship your vitamins right off to you. Or, if you have no idea of what you can be taking, Golden Grocer can give you a quick vitamin assessment over the phone, you can make your selections, and they can ship them off to you. How easy is that? That number again is 367-0405, 367-0405. So live your life like it's golden, and take your vitamins.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
The award-winning wake-up call, analyzing the story, shaping your world.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools, one's mother's light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and we have much business to tend to. The United States proposing to make Vicenza, Italy, the largest U.S. military site in Europe. That's not going down well in Italy. And we're going to talk to one of the organizers, one of the citizens in this town, about why they have opposition to this base. Thea Gardening, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Liz. Good morning.
How are you? And pronounce your city for us.
The city is Vicenza.
Vicenza, Italy.
Italy.
And exactly. Talk to us about, describe Vicenza.
Well, Vicenza is a historical city. It lies about approximately 40 miles from Venice, up in the north of Italy. It lies between Venice and Verona and is itself, along with Venice and Verona, one of the major tourist sites in the north of Italy. Vicenza is famous because of its Palladio villas. Andrea Palladio was a very world-famous architect of the 15th century, and he projected about 52 villas in Vicenza and the surrounding areas. And that's why UNESCO a few years ago decided to make of Vicenza one of the cities belonging to its World Heritage List. And Vicenza is a very peaceful town.
How many people live there?
About 100,000 inhabitants, more or less. It's a town based on industry. It's an industrial area. We have a lot of major... it's one of the major gold areas in the world where gold is manufactured, gold objects. We also have a few important exhibitions here, worldwide exhibitions concerning gold. And, well, it's not that's what I wanted to talk about.
So I just wanted people to get a picture mm-hmm. of what this city looks like. Because most Americans are not aware of what the United States government is proposing to do with your city.
Exactly. That's a very big problem, you see, because we came to the United States last week. A delegation of five of us left Vicenza last Monday, and we stayed in Washington, D.C. until Monday evening this week. That's the day before yesterday. And we spent all the time in Washington just walking in and out of Congress and talking to senators, talking to staffers, and talking to the personnel at the over there, and going to hearings just to make people aware of what is happening to our hometown and asking questions, because we wanted to know why specifically Vicenza, why in the heart of a city like Vicenza they want to build Europe's largest military base, a base that would extend about, that's about 5 kilometers, that would be about 3 miles in length and 2 miles in width, right in the heart of the residential area of Vicenza, with the houses of the people who are already living there right bordering directly with the military base.
And wait a minute, slow down just a little bit, because we have a whole hour and we're going to get through all of this. So mm-hmm. so I want to go back to Congress, okay? Mm-hmm. I want to go back to the response from the legislators. For example, when you went to talk to Congress people, what did mm-hmm. they tell you? Had they heard of this?
Yeah, strangely enough, many of the people we talked to said they had never heard about it before. They were not aware.
These are Congress people that were saying
they
hadn't heard.
Many of them said they were not aware of this. They were not aware of any sort of project concerning our hometown. We brought photographs of the area with us. We showed them the photographs. And amazingly enough, they themselves were highly astonished about it, saying, how can it be that we're going to build Europe's largest military base right in the center of your town? And what was even more astonishing was that beneath that area, the area that they designated, we have the groundwater, which brings water to Vicenza, to the citizens of Padova, and to the citizens of Rovigo, which are three of the major cities lying in the northeast of Italy. So if they build the base, obviously the groundwater will be polluted, and what will then be brought to the people of Vicenza, of Padova and Rovigo to drink? And this was another matter that nobody was aware of, not even the people who said, you know, yes, we know about the military base, and please inform us more about it, etc. Nobody was aware of the groundwater problem.
And the other piece of it is that it's interesting that when you talk to Congress people, most of the Congress people that you talked to hadn't heard about it. It was the Senate staffers that you talked to that had heard about it, because they had been to Vicenza.
Exactly. They had been, three of the gentlemen we spoke to had been to Vicenza, and what is, they said they had been to Vicenza. What is strange about this whole situation is that the citizens of Vicenza are aware of this project since May 2006. That's 1 year that we're aware of it. Whereas, according to the information we received from the United States, the project initiated in between the year 2000 and the year 2001. That's 6 or 7 years ago. They started talking about it. They started flying into our hometown, looking at the area, examining the area, and never, ever finding not even 10 minutes time to talk to the citizens about it. Well, I mean, this is also responsibility of our mayor and of our hometown. I mean, the mayor and the...
Was that the same mayor that's the mayor now, 6 years ago?
Exactly, it's the same mayor.
So how does this work, Thea? How does another country get to, how does this country get to say, we're going to put a base there? Don't they have to go through some kind of process?
Well, I'm sure that they have to go through some kind of process. Now, I'm not an expert in military affairs, and so I cannot tell you what kind of process they would have to go through.
Well, are you aware of any kind of process that they are supposed to go through and that they haven't gone through?
Well, we know for sure, because we have it in our hands, we know for sure that the very first project presented 6 or 7 years ago was a video clip of Vicenza City, which was brought to the United States government, to Congress, I believe, and yes, to Congress, and I believe also to the Pentagon, where the initial video presented was showing the area designated with no, I mean, the 3D video showed the entire designated area with no housing around it, therefore no existing houses, no existing schools, no existing structures. Even the mountains in the background had been canceled from the images brought to the United States.
Whoa. Mountains had been canceled? What do you mean?
I mean that from the initial project, everything surrounding the area had been canceled. Therefore, if somebody looked at it, it seemed as if the air base or the military base would be built in an area free from any sort of houses. There was just fields around it, nothing else.
So the presentation was a lie.
I can't say it was a lie. I can say it was changed from reality. As a matter of fact,
well,
when we showed
last
the
time
pictures,
I was told, if I try to tell my mother that I'm just changing what reality is, she would still tell me that was a lie.
I know, but I can't say everything I think, because it could not be positive for me. I mean, I would say so too if I had to say so. But you know, I could just
I understand.
Capture the words I'm saying, that if you come to Vicenza or you take a picture from an airplane of Vicenza, and that's the pictures we brought during our visit last week, and you show Vicenza as it actually is, with this project distancing only about more or less a mile from the heart of the city, and from the hospital, from everything, and just about bordering straight on the houses. And then 6 or 7 years ago, you bring a project to Congress where nothing of this exists around the area. Obviously, if I'm a person working at Congress and I've never been to Vicenza before and I don't know anything about the city,
and I don't do any research on my own.
It looks one thing to me. If I see reality, if I go there on the spot, if I visit, if I see where the houses were built, if I see where the Basilica of Vicenza is, the Basilica is the most important Palladio building that we have right in the center, right in the heart of our town, and we see how reality is, then, you know, we start, I mean, somebody should start asking themselves question about saying, hey, but, you know, maybe I didn't look into this. Hey, and what about the groundwater? And what about all the people living around there? And what about all the schools? And what about the UNESCO heritage list?
And,
you know, and what about the people, 100,000 people living there, who ask for a referendum that has not been confirmed, you know?
Well, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to build the base the way that they're talking about it, how many homes would have to be displaced? Because surely you can't just set a base down in the middle of your town without...
No, well, Liz, I'll tell you immediately. According to the information we have, no homes would be displaced.
How could
The base would be built right there on the spot in the middle of the people's houses. And maybe I'm just sitting there in my kitchen cooking some good Italian food. I open my kitchen window and I see a huge military base right out my kitchen window.
So they're saying that they're going to build it without displacing a single home.
Exactly. And that's what's been said until now.
Is there any kind of contiguous piece of land that's 3 miles by 3 miles?
More or less,
yes. Sitting in the middle of your city? I mean, do you have a big old open space like that anywhere?
No, this is the biggest green area we have. This is the biggest green area we have in the center of our city.
Okay. We're going to continue our conversation. We're talking about the United States government proposing to make Vicenza, Italy, the largest U.S. military site in Europe. My name is Liz Brown. We're taking a break. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 40 from McCausland through 170. Look for slow traffic going on there. Northbound 270, Dorset and 70. Look for heavy volume in the 70 exit lanes. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. You've got delays. Northbound Illinois Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge, it is slow. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank in the landing. Look for some slowdowns there as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect delays. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue into the 5570 split. Look for some slowdowns. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Doherty Ferry. You've got heavy volume going on there. Southbound 170 at Page and Del Mar. Look for roadway reduced to two lanes. And traffic is backed up through St. Charles Rock Road due to slow traffic. Westbound 44 from or at Route 109, look for road construction having right lane closed. And eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road, you've got slowdowns. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44, look for some delays there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to partly sunny skies this morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms, the high around 80. For this evening, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of showers with a low in the mid-60s. Thursday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, high around 80. And Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day with a high in the lower 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 70 degrees, Lambert Fields reporting 74 under cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Hi, this is Phil.
And I'm Tim. And we're your hosts from The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
Tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for real news.
Or Sil's version of the news on the radio.
That's right. You can listen to my opinion or you can listen to his, but we all know we'll be listening to my opinion. You can also tune in for interviews with senators and other interesting people, like me.
So make sure you tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 for The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
Get ready, get set, and go to the 12th Annual Family Walk and 5K Competitive Run for Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. It takes place on Saturday, and registration starts at 7:30 a.m. in the Upper Muni parking lot in Forest Park. Spend the day at the park with your family and raise funds for Missouri kids and families. The fee is $25 for adults and $10 for kids. For more info, call 314-787-5100 or visit lfcsmo.org. Something for you from WGNU.
In honor of the 82nd birthday and in honor of the legacy of Malcolm X, the Universal African People's Organization invites you to attend an international symposium focused on Africa and her largest country, the Sudan. Guest presenters will include the Ambassador of the Republic of the Sudan, John Luth, UK, Akbar Mohammed, founder of Youth for Africa Foundation, and Zaki Baruti, President General of UAPO. And in special honor to the legacy of Malcolm X, awards will be presented to the students who changed the world by fearlessly engaging in the sit-in at City Hall. So, come on out. Join us at Tegeler Hall at St. Louis University, 3550 Lindell Boulevard, Friday, May 18th at 7:30 p.m. And we will celebrate the memory of Malcolm X together. Be there.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Stand there and listen to my life go by. And at times I wonder why I even try. Well, I try because I like to finish what I start, and I have faith it can get better tomorrow. But it won't if you keep treating me like I'm invisible.
Baby, you won't
treat me
the way you're treating me.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation with Thea Garding. She is joining us from Vicenza, Italy. We're talking about the opposition to the efforts of the United States to build the largest military site in Europe in the middle of Vicenza, Italy. Thea, welcome back. Let me get to a caller or two here.
Yeah.
Gregorio.
Yeah, here's the problem. I'm from Vicenza. Two weeks ago, they found an unexploded bomb, a British bomb from World War II. And the people in Vicenza remember this. And you can still walk in Vicenza, and you can still see where the bombs in World War II knocked out pieces of the buildings. It's still there. So the memories are still there. So the big issue is we don't want another war. We never want Vicenza to be bombed again. Okay, fine. But this thing... this is not going to be the biggest military base in Europe. Where do you get this? I don't know. This isn't true. And all of this makes the people there have no problem with it. There are some, and maybe Thea, she is a group of people, and they oppose this. But most people do not oppose this. It's not a problem.
Let me let Thea respond to that, okay? The two issues that you made, that this is not going to be the largest military base and that people in Vicenza do not oppose it. Thank you, Gregoria.
Okay, well, first of all, Liz?
Yes, I'm here.
Am I on air?
Yes, you are.
Okay. First of all, the matter about the people not opposing it. Vicenza has about 100,000 inhabitants. We had a demonstration on February 17th where more than 200,000 people participated to the demonstration. And according to a kind of vote that was run here in the Vicenza area, 71%, this was done quite a few months ago, I believe October last, that was even before the strong opposition started taking place, that was already 71% of the citizens of Vicenza said no to the base.
And also, don't you have citizens that are engaging in a 24-hour vigil right now?
Exactly. We have an encampment. The people of Vicenza donated us, a family donated us a piece of land that's bordering right on with the site where they want to build the military base. We built an encampment there. People are living there 24 hours a day. Alternately, you know, housewives, elders, children, families, they spend time alternately because obviously everybody works, so you can't stay there all day long because otherwise you risk losing your job. But all day long, 24 hours a day, people are there. Families bring food for those who are there, homemade soups, cakes, whatever, bring wood. This winter they brought in wood so that they could light fires and keep warm instead of freezing during the night. And the people are determined. We're holding courses every weekend, courses to teach the people nonviolent resistance. Should they come in with the bulldozers, the people of Vicenza, and that I'm talking about approximately 100,000 people, are participating to these courses weekly, getting ready to lie down in front of the bulldozers should they come in. And this gentleman who called now, and he's talking about Second World War II, that they found an English bomb of World War II, and that Vicenza could risk being bombed. Please tell me, World War II is World War II. It's something that happened 60 years ago. Vicenza is not at risk of bombings because it's one of the most uninteresting and absolutely has uninteresting places in the world to bomb, and it has nothing to do with international warfare or with war in foreign countries. So really, this is an excuse that I would not and will never accept.
Let me get to another caller here. Harry, you have a question to Thea.
Yes, good morning, and good morning to your guests. I'm concerned as to why did they say that they're building the base, and why did they say that they're building the base now in 2007?
Thank you so much, Harry.
Thank you.
Well, we still haven't gotten, strange enough, we still haven't gotten a certain reply, you know. One of the replies we heard was that it's that the brigade coming to Vicenza, there's already part of this brigade at Camp Ederle, which is an existing base we have in Vicenza. Camp Ederle was built in 1955 after Second World War II, and there has never been any problem whatsoever with the existing military base. The existing military base is 173rd Airborne Brigade, which is the brigade which enters in attack when we start going to Afghanistan or Iraq or to other such places. What they want to do is close the military base in Germany in Ramstein, where the other section of the 173rd Brigade is, and bring everything to Rivichens to unite the entire troops of the 173rd Airborne Brigade.
Which would make it the largest military site in
Europe. Which would make it the largest military site in Europe. And if the gentleman who called first doesn't believe it, doesn't want to admit it, all he has to do is look up information on the website. If you look up Vicenza, Dalmolin, you'll find more than 83,600 things. I don't know how you say them in English. Data on Dalmolin.
Okay, you mean if you did a Google search?
Exactly. If you do a Google search on Dalmolin, you'll find more than 83,000 responses to that Google search, and most of them will state that it's Europe's largest military base.
Because of their closing and consolidating and building one.
Exactly. And what the gentleman asked now, the reasons why. Well, one of the things that I was quite amazed of when I was in the United States last week was the answer I received to this question is that the 173rd is a response team, and they said to me, should a nation be starving in Africa, we'll send in the troops.
So they use starving Africans as the reason why this is why. I live in America, and I saw the response to, and I'm a woman of African descent, and I saw the response to Katrina. That dog don't hunt. Okay.
Well, listen, the answer, when I heard this, I must tell you the truth, I held myself by restraint because I was in a position where I could not say everything I thought. But I said, you mean that when people are dying of hunger, you send soldiers?
Mm.
I mean, if I knew somebody who was starving, I would do something more concrete than send soldiers. I would send food, I would send assistance, I would send medical assistance, I would do other things. I wouldn't send in the 173rd Airborne Brigade that when I go and visit their website, it says Europe's first fighting combat team.
Excellent point. So 200,000 people came to...
More than 200,000 people.
And how did that get organized? In how much time did it take for that many people, over 200,000, almost a quarter of a million people, to come to Vicenza?
Well, I don't know how long it took them. It was that we had to start the demonstration before because we had thought of starting it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 14 hours. We started it before because the town was just absolutely full of people, and there was not one incident that day. And even though the media, Italian media, kept saying, don't go to the demonstration because it's going to be dangerous. Don't go to the demonstration. All the shops closed in Vicenza because it's going to be dangerous. A lot of stores kept open because they're tired of hearing all these propaganda that they get from the news. Many stores kept open, more than 200,000 people came. International media came. I personally was in contact with AFP. Agents, France Press of Paris, constantly calling me on the phone, asking me how the demonstration was going on. We had not one violent incident, and the 2 days after the demonstration, myself had a list of all the shops that had kept open that day. I called each and every shop, the director of each and every store that had kept open, and I said, thank you. On behalf of the movement, on behalf of the grassroots movement, thank you for having trusted it enough. It trusted us enough to keep your store open.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and the store owners, directors, industrial people who run huge shops that could have been interested in having a military base in Vicenza. You know what they said to me? They said, we kept open because this is our way of saying no to the military base.
So the media, the larger media, the corporate-owned media out here is not giving the story any play here in the United States. How is the media in Italy addressing this issue?
Well, the media in Italy initially remained silent because it didn't seem as if it was such a big issue. If you think that after the demonstration of the 17th of February, just 4 days after the Italian government fell on this issue and on the issue of refunding the war, the troops in Afghanistan, I'm sure that you're aware that the government fell. And 2 days after, the government was up back again because obviously this new government here did not want to leave their place to the previous government, so they did everything they could to be back on stage again. But if you think of how important this matter is, after 4 days after the demonstration, the Prodi government fell.
Mm. And in terms of governmental involvement, we're going to take a break here, but when we come back, I want to find, surely somebody in your government was talking to somebody here in the United States to even attempt to begin to consider this. We're talking about the United States government's proposal to build the largest military site in Europe in Vicenza, Italy, and the opposition, the overwhelming opposition by Italian citizens to it. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back with more of this conversation, and we'll take some more of your calls, comments, and questions when we return. Stay back. Stay with me. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
Good Thank morning. You. Now, I don't mean to be a nudge, but have you taken your vitamins this morning? Are you out of them? Do you have any idea of what you should be taking? Well, not to worry. Golden Grocer, with over 30 years' experience in the health food industry, is here to help. Give them a call at 367-0405, and they can take your order over the phone and ship your vitamins right off to you. Or, if you have no idea of what you can be taking, Golden Grocer can give you a quick vitamin assessment over the phone, you can make your selections, and they can ship them off to you. How easy is that? That number again is 367-0405, 367-0405. So live your life like it's golden. And take your vitamins.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Was it time you let me know what's real and going on below? But now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This hour I'm having a conversation about the United States attempting to build the largest military base in Europe in Vicenza, Italy. And Thea, welcome back. When we talk about we've talked about what the United States is doing, talk to us about what Italy governmental officials have done. The Minister of Defense, the Prime Minister, what has happened with the decision making on whether or not this base will be built?
Well, according to the people we met at Congress during our visit last week, it seems as if Italy still has not given any formal approval whatsoever, probably because this grassroots movement is growing so much and so quickly and putting so much pressure on, and also the international attention we're calling on this now, especially European and the European Union and all our bordering countries. We've contacted all the prime ministers, etc., and presidents of the bordering countries, making them aware of the situation as well. Probably there's a lot of pressure on this now, and at least according to Congress and the people we met, there still has been no formal or official decision taken. Our own government has said that they have still not taken a decision, even though Prodi, when he was in Bucharest, not even from his own country, but in Bucharest. He was out of town, exactly.
Right.
When he was out of town, he had made a press release where he said that there was nothing against building the military base, but there is still no official approval, even though some of us went to meet our defense minister, Parisi, and he had said that we should not be concerned, we should not be worried, because there really was no no intention of constructing the military base. This was quite a few months ago.
But
things have changed. Things have changed because the movement, as I said before, is growing constantly. There's a lot of international attention on this as well now, and a lot of pressure from the people, because it's no longer a question just of the inhabitants of Vicenza, but a question of the movement expanding throughout Italy, with a movement that's called Il Patto del Mutuo Soccorso, which means that everybody, citizens from all of Italy, are building a sort of net that's aiding each other in a reciprocal way, you know, where if somebody needs help, everybody goes there to help, and in this case it's happening to the citizens of Vicenza. So there's a lot of solidarity.
So solidarity around what issue? What is happening in Vicenza, or what is happening with respect to military bases of the United States and Europe, period? What is the solidarity?
Especially in this moment, especially what is happening in Vicenza, because you can imagine Europe's largest military base, what that would mean not only for us, citizens of Vicenza, but also for all the citizens of Italy and for the citizens of the bordering countries as well. Because Vicenza, as I said a while ago, already has one military base, Camp Ederle, which exists since 1955, since after the Second World War. And then we have other four military sites in the city, American military sites in the city. These are underground military sites, one of which we are sure, due to information we found, due to documentation, etc., we're sure that it used to stock nuclear missiles. We don't know if it still does, but you know, it was quite a concern, considering there was also no civilian evacuation plan on the city in case of incidents.
Mm.
I just wanted to come to one point, though, that's very important, that you brought up first, talking about Katrina. Many people have, especially the Americans living in Vicenza, the people working on the military base and the civilians working on the military base, Camp Ederle in Vicenza, brought up the question of us being anti-American. I would just like to state, first of all, that there had never been problems whatsoever with Camp Ederle before this issue.
There's never been a protest at Camp
Ederle. No, nothing whatsoever. The Camp Ederle and the Americans living on the base here in Vicenza are a very closed community. They do not share or open their base to the citizens of Vicenza. They do not bring their children to Italian schools. They do not do research in the Vicenza libraries. It's kind of a very closed community. And what would happen should this new military base be built would be that the existing relationships, even though they're rather scarce, but that would certainly put a lot of pressure on existing, on future relationships. And also, we've heard many a times that, especially before the demonstration of the 17th of February, Americans were invited not to visit our city because it was saying it was dangerous, these are anti-Americans, they're dangerous people. I would just like to say one thing that we brought up to Congress. The money that the military staff, the people who would be funding, who would be paying for the base in the United States, of the United States here in Italy, we are aware that military money is different from civilian money and it has a different destination. But should the military money they would want to spend on Dalmoline base be used in New Orleans, we strongly believe, and we are strongly pushing this argument, because we feel that that money would serve and be far more useful in New Orleans rather than here in Vicenza. I mean, we don't want a military base, and we don't even know how to use an American military base in Vicenza. I'm sure that the people of New Orleans would know how to use that money, and I'm sure they would know where to put it, in their homes, in rebuilding their city. And I was even thinking, we had even proposed of making twin cities, New Orleans, Vicenza, and in the future, should the money, instead of being used for military use, but for civilian use in New Orleans, should New Orleans be rebuilt and the people go back to their homes, then we could really organize jazz festivals and cultural events between New Orleans and Vicenza, cultural exchanges. That's what we point on. That's what we want. We want the people to live in peace and in harmony and solidarity, in respect, ethical and moral respect. These are the fundamentals of humanity. This is the importance for the citizens of Vicenza.
I hear you saying that your government is telling you that nothing's happening, that this is not a done deal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Are there actions that have been engaged in by the United States government to speak to the contrary of that? Have they been digging at holes or building things? Have they been attempting to do any of those things as if it's a done deal?
Well, until now, fortunately, no. A small thing did happen a few months ago. They were putting down fiber optic cables all from one military base to the other. But this was not done by, I specify, this was not done by the American militaries in Vicenza. This was done by the local government. When one of the representatives of one of the peace movements stopped the works, seeing that they were digging all along the perimeter of the future base, they stopped the works during this thing, and they said, "What are you doing?" You know, and the people who were working on it said, they told us we have to dig because they're putting down fiber optic cables to improve telecommunications. So what was done in a matter of 20, 30 minutes, just to give you an idea of how the entire grassroots movement is organized, we found out in about 20, 30 minutes, not even, that there was no authorization whatever from the town hall for this kind of work. The work was immediately suspended. Local police was called by ourselves. They came out. They checked with their own town hall representatives and confirmed that there was no authorization for any kind of digging.
So
the works were stopped. Ourselves, we threw in quick. How do you, I don't know how you say it in English, cement that dries immediately,
mm-hmm.
where the holes had been dug, so that they can't put down fiber optic cables.
Very good. And let me get to one more call or a question here. Alfred, you have a quick question for my guest.
Yeah. Have you contacted the target Italian organizations in the United States, and what position do they have on this issue?
Thanks for
also,
that.
Also, have you forgot about the Americans that lost their lives, you know, defending your country? Thank you. Bye now.
Forgotten about the Americans?
That he's talking about, I guess, Americans that died in World War II. Can we get to the first question first?
Mm-hmm.
Has there been a connection made with Italian organizations here in the United States?
Yes, we have. We ourselves visited the Italian embassy in Washington the other day, and also we visited one of the major Italian-American foundations in the United States. And
what's their response has been? What kind
of response? Obviously, being with the political matter, you know, you can't expect an answer immediately. You can expect what we got was a high availability, people who were interested in the matter, people who were aware of it, but were not aware of the entire matter, just like I said at the beginning of the interview, groundwater and the residential area where the base would be built.
And like one of the callers that we got about, well, there are not a whole lot of people that are in opposition to this.
Well,
yes, there are.
That's not true, because
yes,
if you have a town of 100,000 people and you have more than 200,000 people demonstrating and you have international press, and the day after, when I did research to see what newspapers had written about this, I even found a newspaper in Ecuador that had given it a column of the matter. I mean, there is.
And that's what I mean. The Italian guy who called earlier in the show who said nobody is in opposition to this, Italian organizations need to be given the same information that he was given.
Mm-hmm.
Thea, I want to thank you so much for joining me this morning on the show. And keep us informed on this, all right?
Okay, Liz. Thank you very much for having given us all this time to talk about it.
It was a pleasure. Take care
now. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I'll be back to have a discussion about exploring and looking into what the Superfund, the cleanup money, what it's really going to, what it's really doing, and are these sites being cleaned up? Stay with me.
All men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. It could be another long, tough day for L.A. firefighters. They're hoping to bring a raging wildfire under control. It's already burned through the famous Griffith Park and forced the evacuation of the city zoo. More from ABC's Bill Redeker.
Firefighters hope to put out the spectacular blaze later today. The good news, no structures, no homes were destroyed, no lives lost. But at least 600 acres have been charred in the nation's largest urban park.
It's bone dry in Florida, too, where a pair of fires is burning near the Georgia border.
Walk along the shoreline of Miami Beach, and rather than the usually sunny, clear sky, you see a thick gray haze. The smell out here, not exactly of ocean air, but acrid and smoky, like a barbecue gone bad. The National Weather Service says the smoky stink will likely stick around a bit because of wind conditions around the southeast right now.
ABC's Donna Rapato in Miami. President Bush is on his way to Kansas. He'll visit Tornado Flat in Greensburg, where ABC's Barbara Pinto says he'll find the very first signs of recovery.
Aid is coming in here. We see electrical workers from out of state, water trucks, generators. FEMA has even sent trailers. But just to give you some idea, there is so much debris that there is no place to park the trailers and no utilities yet to hook them up to.
He will probably also get an earful from the governor, who says the federal response has been too slow. We're learning more about what 6 foreign-born Muslims may have been doing in planning an attack on Fort Dix, New Jersey.
Court papers say the men thought they'd have easy access to the Army post here by posing as pizza delivery men. The father of one of the suspects owned a pizza place, and his son used to deliver to Fort Dix. But the suspect's father says his son's no terrorist and believes the arrest was the result of religious persecution.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Vice President Cheney in Iraq, a surprise first stop on his Mideast trip. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow down 2 points, NASDAQ off 14. This is ABC News.
We all have some place we need to go. Goodyear Tires can help you get there. Right now, during the Goodyear Power to Get There Tire Sale, get up to a $40 mail-in cash card for the purchase of a set of 4 select Goodyear tires. Or double your cash card up to $80 when you make your purchase on your Goodyear credit card. Hurry in, because the Goodyear Power to Get There Tire Sale ends May 28th. For complete details and a location nearest you, visit GoodyearTires.com. Certain restrictions and conditions apply. Goodyear credit card purchases subject to credit approval.
I just peeked in your medicine cabinet.
Excuse me?
Yeah, wow.
I can explain.
How do you explain all those different pain relievers?
Oh, that. Well, I have one for headaches. I got another one when I hurt my back. And...
Stop. It's time to go all Advil. Advil is the every pain reliever.
Isn't there such...
Something that's stronger or lasts longer? No.
So it'll work when my legs are sore from chasing down snoopers.
I suppose. Shouldn't you be all Advil?
Compared to OTC pain relievers, use as directed.
It'll do just about everything, but maybe cook the food for you. ABC's Al Mancini got a look at the kitchen of the future, which, if you're willing to pay, is available now.
Tim Woods of the Internet Home Alliance Research Council says the kitchen is going digital for a simple reason.
Women are playing a more and more important role in technology purchases in the home.
And moms want technologies that bring families together, like this one offered on HP's TouchSmart PC.
A digital calendar that can bring everybody's schedule into one application that literally goes up on the wall like a paper calendar would.
Other products on display include digital photo frames, DVD players, and satellite radio receivers that can all be attached directly to the front of a new Whirlpool refrigerator. Al Mancini, ABC News, Las Vegas.
So much for good deeds. Wisconsin officials told the owner of a BP gas station in Merrill not to lower the prices for any reason. No discounts for senior citizens or for people who support, say, youth sports programs. They say it violates the state's Unfair Sales Act. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Here's another report of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news today, police in Smithton, Illinois say Sam Shelton, the former Metro East teacher charged with strangling a teenager and then leaving her for dead in a park in Belleville, attempted suicide yesterday. Officers say Shelton fought with them when they responded to a call from an ambulance crew reporting the suicide attempt at Shelton's mother's home. Shelton's trial in the alleged attack on the teenager, Ashley Reeves of Millstadt, is slated to start in July. In other news, Lambert St. Louis International Airport has a new carrier. Atlanta-based AirTran Airlines is beginning service with 4 daily flights to Atlanta with connections to 56 other destinations. The airport offered incentives to land the airline, such as the waiver of 9 months of landing fees and terminal rentals. Low-fare carriers like AirTran and Southwest forced the major airlines to roll back prices to stay competitive with a weakening demand for air travel and more seats available. Even those carriers with higher published fares offer plenty of discounts and fare sales on the Internet. It's too early to tell what impact AirTran's arrival at Lambert will have on competing airlines. And if you were employed by the University of Missouri in 2004 and took any classes at the Columbia campus during or before that time, you might want to keep a close tab on your reported financial dealings. The University of Missouri yesterday reported an attack from hackers late last week that left over 22,000 names and Social Security numbers vulnerable. The names and numbers were of employees of any campus in the system in 2004 who were also current or former students at the Columbia campus. The university is trying to notify those who might be affected of the possible identity thefts. University IT employees say the attacks happened between Thursday and Friday mornings and came from IP addresses in China and Australia. That's WGNU News for this hour. I'm Peyton Colston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 70 from Salisbury through Branch. Look for a disabled vehicle. Right lane's blocked. That's at Branch Street. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Laclede Station. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got some slow delays still. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue and the 5570 split is still a little sluggish. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from mid-span all the way into the landing. Northbound 270 at 44 and Doherty Ferry, that traffic is easing. Eastbound 44 from Maryville Center through Mason Road, you still have some pockets of slow traffic, but otherwise everything's moving well. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, look for no delays. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into Graham Hanley, or into West Florissant, excuse me, look for no problems there. 44 at 109, there's road construction and right lanes closed. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for heavy volume still this hour. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. Look for no delays there. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, partly sunny, a chance of showers. High in the lower 80s. For this evening, mostly cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms, low in the mid 60s. For Thursday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms, high around 80. And Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day, chance of showers in the morning, otherwise a high in the lower 80s. Currently, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 76 and scattered clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to, much business to tend to. 27 years ago, the United States government created a program to identify, clean up this nation's worst toxic waste sites. Huh. How we doing 27 years later? How we doing? We need to have that conversation. And to facilitate that conversation, Joaquin Sapien, reporter for the Center for Public Integrity, is joining us from Washington, D.C. Joaquin, how we doing?
Well, we are not doing so hot, according to the project and research that we've just recently accumulated here at the Center for Public Integrity. We're an investigative journalism organization based in Washington, D.C., and we've just completed a year-long investigation on the Superfund program to discover that financial constraints have severely inhibited the program from attaining its goals to identify and clean up some of the worst toxic waste sites that are out there.
So we're not even just talking about cleaning them up. We're talking about also a process that involves identifying them.
Well, to a certain extent, mm-hmm. some there has been some criticism that the program is not listing as many sites as they have in the past, and therefore many sites aren't even getting to the point where they can even begin cleanup action because they aren't making the cut necessarily.
Mm. So do us some bullet points here. What would Americans be shocked to find out about the this effort to clean up these sites?
Mm-hmm. Well, we found that cleanup work was started at about 145 sites in the past 6 years, and that startup rate was nearly three times as high for the previous 6 years. And during this past 6 years period, about an average of about 42 sites per year reached what's called the construction complete phase, and that's essentially when all the cleanup apparatus has been installed and the pumps are going, the waste is being removed. But for the 6 years before that, the average was nearly twice the average that we are seeing now, which is about 79 sites per year. And, I mean, like I said, this is all sort of reflective of some very severe financial constraints, so severe that EPA officials have had to delay needed work at some hazardous sites. And, in fact, they have taken to using money left over from cleanups that had been completed in previous years. And to decide which sites deserve the leftover money and which sites do not, they have been ranking these sites in secret, creating a list that is not available to the public to determine, you know, which sites are on track to receive funding and which ones are not, which to the community's perspective means that you could potentially have a site near you and have no idea whether or not it's on track to receive funding to be cleaned up.
Well, how pervasive are these toxic waste sites? I mean, how many Americans are affected or impacted by these sites?
Well, we found that about half of the U.S. population lives within 10 miles of one of the 1,304 active or proposed Superfund sites that are listed by the agency at present. But historically, there have been about 1,623 sites that have ever been listed, and only 319 of these sites have been cleaned up to the extent where they can actually be removed from the Superfund's national priorities list.
27 years later, that's the total.
That's the total.
How much money has gone? I mean, they say Superfunds. Let's talk about what Superfunds means dollar-wise when we come back. I'm talking to Joaquin Safian. He's a reporter for the Center for Public Integrity. We're talking about an investigation into what has happened 27 years after the United States government created a program to identify and clean up our country's worst toxic sites. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Good morning. Now, I don't mean to be a nudge, but have you taken your vitamins this morning? Are you out of them? Do you have any idea of what you should be taking? Well, not to worry. Golden Grocer, with over 30 years' experience in the health food industry, is here to help. give them a call at 367-0405, and they can take your order over the phone and ship your vitamins right off to you. Or, if you have no idea of what you can be taking, Golden Grocer can give you a quick vitamin assessment over the phone, you can make your selections, and they can ship them off to you. How easy is that? That number again is 367-0405, 367-0405. So live your life like it's golden, and take your vitamins.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation with Joaquin Sapien. He's a reporter for the Center for Public Integrity, and we're talking about a two-part investigation that the Center for Public Integrity took on, Wasting Away Superfund's Toxic Legacy. And Joaquin, when we use the word superfund, what does that apply to? It sounds like we're talking about a lot of money. How much money are we talking about?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. When the program was launched in 1980, the idea was to establish a tax on industry that had been responsible for creating a number of these toxic waste sites, and that includes the petroleum industry, the chemical industry, the manufacturing industry. And what happened was the tax on these industries fed a pool of money that was used to clean up these abandoned hazardous waste sites, and that was used when EPA couldn't fail to force anyone else to clean these sites up. So over time, money accumulated in this superfund, but eventually the tax law expired in 1995 under a Republican-controlled Congress, and then the $3.8 billion that accumulated in that fund ran dry in 2003. So ever since, the program has been funded entirely by American taxpayers and the money that EPA has been able to recover from polluters for work that the agency has done at these sites. But what we're seeing is that the amount of money allocated by Congress to the program has not necessarily kept up with inflation. For example, in 1995, the program was allocated almost the same amount that it was allocated just recently. And in that 12-year period, if you look at the budget through the lens of inflation-adjusted dollars, you'll find that it's actually fallen 35%. So with that kind of decline, you just can't buy the same amount of cleanups and the same amount of work that you could years ago.
When we look at who these polluters are, the companies connected to these dangerous contaminated sites, is there a pattern here, or is there something we can figure out by taking a look at that?
Well, what we've actually assembled here is probably the most comprehensive list of the 100 polluters that are linked to the most Superfund sites that's ever been created. And the way that we did that is that we were leaked a confidential EPA document that lists the firms that are tied to the most sites. And to when that came out in 2001, it was never released to the public. And so what we did is that we combed a number of databases and did everything that we could to update this list, and we found exactly how many sites the names of these companies came up in association with. And with that information, we were able to develop a list for each company and send that company the number of sites that we found them to be what's called a potentially responsible party for, and then ask them to get back to us to see how accurate our list was. So that took, months of going back and forth with these various companies. So we now have established a list of the 100 companies that are that have been linked to the most Superfund sites. And as you might expect, there are a number of oil and gas companies, chemical companies, and defense contractors. And in fact, the federal government itself is actually linked to the most Superfund sites with 225.
And when we look at the 100 firms and their connection to these sites, having the most sites, toxically polluted sites, is there another political connection with these particular companies? Do they donate money in a certain way?
Yeah, well, you certainly see that a number of these companies wield substantial influence in government. In fact, we found that many of them are Fortune 1000 or Global 500 companies and have spent hundreds of millions of dollars lobbying the government on various issues, donating millions to a number of political campaigns.
I'm looking at your report, and it said between 1998 and 2005 that these companies spent more than $1 billion to lobby just the federal government.
That's right. And to lobby the federal government, and then it also donated more than $100 million to candidates for Congress and the White House. And that would be in campaign contributions.
And again, Joaquin, how much money was being brought into for the Superfund with the taxes placed on these companies?
With the taxes, I mean, all that money went into the Superfund.
That's right.
And the amount of money that was in that pool was still subject to congressional appropriations. So despite the fact that, you know, there may have been, you know, a large trust fund and a huge sum of money in that trust fund reaching its peak at $3.8 billion, Congress was always deciding exactly how much was going to be spent out of that trust fund every year.
So was Congress also sending that money elsewhere or just letting it lie?
Well, the money was actually part of one of the benefits of having sort of a treasure chest of funds for that is that EPA was able to force a lot more polluters into cleaning up their own sites because essentially the way that the program was originally designed to work is that if a polluter was somewhat reluctant to clean up its site, then EPA could do it, and it had the money to do so previously. And because it had the money to do so, it could successfully clean up a site and then go back to the polluter and seek what's called triple damages and force the polluter to pay three times the cost of what the cleanup was. And so that is a pretty big stick. But that stick has been taken out of EPA's hands because they no longer have the Superfund behind them. They burn through their allocation at the end of every year. And so it becomes a lot more difficult to force these polluters to clean up their own sites. And we've also seen a tremendous drop in the number of sites that polluters are being forced to clean up. 60%, in fact, between the two most recent administrations.
When we look at states, because you stated earlier that nearly half of all Americans live within 10 miles of the 13-plus active and proposed Superfund sites, are there any states that stand out in terms of the number of them?
Yeah, New Jersey has an extremely high number of sites, especially for such a small state, and that's due to the industrial history that state has. And they have got about 114 Superfund sites in their state. But one of the tools that we offer on our website at www.publicintegrity.org is a sort of interactive map that allows you to explore all the sites that have been listed throughout the country, and you can actually go and look exactly where that site is located, how close it might be to your community. You can enter in your state and sort of look at the number of sites that are in your state and look at the polluters that have been connected to them, what kind of contaminants might be contained at the site, whether or not human exposure to the, those contaminants is an issue, and whether or not groundwater migration is an issue at those sites.
Well, we have the notorious Times Beach facility here in the state of Missouri, and according to your list, that has been cleaned up,
mm-hmm.
although nobody's living there. But you also have this really neat piece at the website that you can look at, for instance, things like the percentage of legislators in your state who sat on a committee related to their personal financial interests. Why that particular topic and why this aspect to your website?
Well, I mean, a lot of what we try and do here is at the center is provide tools to both the public at large and journalists in particular to investigate things on a local level, particularly involving, you know, who holds the power in their area, and, you know, allowing them inroads to further explore that. But that's actually sort of a separate feature than what's offered on the site that involves the Superfund program in particular.
And we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Joaquin Sapien. He's a reporter for the Center for Public Integrity. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the fact that it's been 27 years since our good government created a program to identify and clean up our country's worst toxic sites. How we doing out there? We're going to have more of this conversation when we come back. Stay with me.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
In honor of the 82nd birthday and in honor of the legacy of Malcolm X, the Universal African People's Organization invites you to attend an international symposium focused on Africa and her largest country, the Sudan. Guest presenters will include the Ambassador of the Republic of the Sudan, John Luth UK, Akbar Mohammed, founder of Youth for Africa Foundation, and Zaki Baruti, President General of UAPO. And in special honor to the legacy of Malcolm X, awards will be presented to the students who changed the world by fearlessly engaging in the sit-in at City Hall. So, come on out. Join us at Tegeler Hall at St. Louis University, 3550 Linda Boulevard, Friday, May 18th at 7:30 p.m. And we will celebrate the memory of Malcolm X together. Be there.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Like a butterfly, I sing like a hornet.
try to take it. They wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the greatest man alive. A cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the greatest man alive.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation with a reporter for the Center for Public Integrity joining us from Washington, D.C., Joaquin Sapien, and we're talking about the Superfund funds and toxic waste and cleanups here in this country. And Joaquin, can we talk a little bit about what's going on in the legislature now, what's going on in Congress right now in terms of addressing these issues? Are we seeing any efforts afoot to reinstate this tax? Are we seeing any efforts afoot to step up the process of cleaning up these sites, or even the make it clear who's being considered for what and why?
Well, there's certainly some long-time active or advocates of reinstating the tax that are pledging to hold hearings on the Superfund program in Congress. Those include Senators Barbara Boxer, Congressman John Dingell, and others. And with the new majority in Congress, I think that it's pretty safe to say that we probably will see some hearings on that issue, and some of those individuals do want to see the reinstatement of the tax on polluters, but it will probably be a pretty tough fight to get that going.
And in terms of other aspects of this, aside from the funding, are there any other efforts to address this? Is that the hearings the only solution to that you're seeing, or the only action that you're seeing?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, some of our findings might further support, you know, the need for other independent government oversight entities to further look into what's happening, and for Congress to continue to look at this issue. I mean, we're certainly seeing a lot of problems with the program and that are worthy of that kind of attention.
When we look at the legislative behavior on this, do we have an idea of the obviously we know that there's a lot of money, $1 billion that has been spent by this industry to lobby Washington. Do we get a sense, or do we have an idea of where that money is going in terms of, is it Republicans that are getting most of it, or Democrats that are getting most of it, House members, Senate members? Do we have a sense of that?
Well, it's difficult to determine how much of this money is being spent on Superfund issues in particular, and exactly where that money is going and to whom.
Well, when we look at these 100 companies that you all have gleaned out that are responsible for most of these toxic waste sites out here, can we get a pattern there? Can we see something there in terms of Congress people or senators that are getting funding from those 100 companies?
Well, again, I mean, it's sort of hard to it's always difficult to make that connection between the amount of money that's going to a specific legislator and whether or not that's actually affecting his agenda. But I think that there is some potential for that happening, yeah.
And I wasn't really asking if it was affecting their agenda. I just more so if just is some of the money going there? Because, you know, people, every legislator out there says, I get money from lots of different people. That doesn't mean that it's impacting or affecting my legislative decisions. So I was just curious as to whether or not we could see a pattern here of these 100 companies out that have been determined by your organization to be the worst, those that have the most toxic waste sites. Are there any heads up that you would give any particular community? I know you've identified New Jersey as a place where that has a large amount of these toxic waste centers. Any other places that you might want to give a heads up to folks that live in that particular state?
That live in New Jersey specifically?
No, another state other than New Jersey. You've already told us
about that. Pennsylvania is not far behind with about 122 sites to New Jersey's 140. And like I said, folks can visit our site and sort of see exactly how many Superfund sites are in every state. New York's got about 110. They're third on the list. California with 107. And like I said, you can go onto our site and see exactly where these Superfund sites are and how close they are to the surrounding communities and what potential threats they might pose.
And there's a couple more questions here, Joaquin. When we talk about these toxic waste sites, toxic waste means a different thing in New Jersey than it means in California or Ohio and Missouri, right? What kind of things are we talking about when we use the word toxic?
Well, the contamination that you see at these sites varies often depending on the industry that's operating or that formerly operated near these sites. New Jersey is a very industrial state, and there's a long history of chemical manufacturing and things like that. So you'll see a lot of sites that are contaminated with PCBs and the like. Whereas out in some of the states where the mining industry has been very active, you'll see different forms of contamination. You'll see a different type of site. A lot of the time, they'll be much larger. And there is the potential for contamination of groundwater because of their size and sort of because of the nature of the contamination that you see at a mining site.
And when we look at these, again, take a longer look at these toxic waste sites, are we talking about places like Times Beach where people were living and had to be moved out, or are most of these toxic waste sites places where people aren't exactly living on top of these sites?
Well, actually, in certain cases, we've seen people literally living on top of a Superfund site. It's not that those sites don't exist anymore. There's one site in Florida that's actually an apartment complex, and EPA has distributed literature advising people not to allow their children to, play barefoot in the playground and things like that because there could be lead contamination in very close proximity to where these children are playing. And if you look at it on the map, it's a proposed site, so technically it's not even on the national priorities list. And
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Our government has sent out warning letters to residents not to let their kids play barefooted, and it's not even on the site list.
Yeah, technically it's not even an official Superfund site. It's proposed.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so and by not being on that list means that even if there were money available, it wouldn't be coming to them to clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody is going to be – and if there were punishments still in place, nobody would be punished for not cleaning it up.
Right. Well, there are certain situations where a proposed site is being addressed by perhaps the state Environmental Protection Agency as opposed to the federal agency, so that could be happening there and at other proposed sites around the country.
But it doesn't have the governmental stick that it used to have.
Right, but we're also finding that the proposed sites, there's about 61 of them, and some of them have been proposed for the list for at least 10 years.
Proposed site. So what does a proposed site, how does a proposed site compare to a not being on the list site or an active site? What process does it take to go one way or another?
Well, the first step in the process is to sort of assess how dangerous the site is. They give it what's called a hazardous ranking score, and the determination as to whether or not it actually lands on the official Superfund list comes slightly based on that score. But like I said, there has been some criticism over, whether or not EPA is actively listing sites to the degree that they had been in the past. And this is, again, largely due to funding. We have had some EPA officials tell us that they are reluctant to list these sites simply because they know that there isn't any money available to clean them up. So why get the community's hopes up and put it on the list if they know it's not going to be addressed for 10 or 20 years because the money isn't there?
Is there any place for a citizen to go and to find out the toxicity of any place that they're living outside of a listing by our government with this Superfund?
Well, there is now on our site, www.publicintegrity.org. You can go to any site in the country, and you can see exactly how many contaminants are at that site, how those contaminants affect human health, how many people live around them, and other issues of that nature. And you can also see how many actions EPA has taken at that site and what kind of actions the agency has performed there.
And Joaquin Sapien, could you please give us your website address one more time?
Mm-hmm. It's www.publicintegrity.org. And to get directly to the Wasting Away page, you would go to www.publicintegrity.org/superfund.
Joaquin Sapien, reporter for Center for Public Integrity, thank you so much for joining me on the Wake Up Call this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. And, folks, if you're interested for your state, if you don't have access to the Internet, let me give you some of the places that have been listed by the Center for Public Integrity, places here in the state of Missouri. We have the Big River Mine Tailings St. Joe's Mineral Corporation. That's in Deloge. Conservation Chemical Company in Kansas City. That's on the list. Ellisville site, that's in Ellisville. Fulbright Landfill in Springfield, that's on the list. The Kim Pest Laboratories in Cape Girardeau, that's been deleted from the list because it was cleaned up. Lake City Army Ammunition Plants, that's in Independence, Missouri, it's on the list. Lee Chemical in Liberty is on the list. Madison County Mines in Fredericktown is on the list. Minker's Stout Romaine Creek in Imperial is on the list. Missouri Electric Works in Cape Girardeau is on the list. Newton County Mines Tailings is in Granby, and that's on the list. Newton County Wells and Joplin, that's on the list. North U Drive Well Contamination in Springfield has been deleted from the list. Oak Grove Village Well in Sullivan is on the list. Pools Prairie in Neosho is on the list. Quality Plating in Sykeston is on the list. Riverfront in New Haven. Shenandoah Stables in Moscow Mills, that was deleted from the list. Solid State Circuits in Republic, Missouri is on the list. St. Louis Airport Hazelwood Interim, that's on the list. Storage Futura Coatings Company in St. Louis, that's on the list. Syntex Facility in Verona on the list. Times Beach, again, has been cleaned up. Valley Park TCE in Valley Park is on the list. Weldon Spring Forming Army Ordnance Work in St. Charles County is on the list. Weldon Springs Quarry Plant Pits in St. Charles County is on the list. And Westlake Landfill in Bridgeton is on the list. Deleted from the list is the Wheeling Disposal Service Landfill in Amazonia, and that has been cleaned up and is on the list. What would be very helpful, I think, is if you go to this website and see the connection between your state legislators and some of these companies, because that information is on that website, the Center for Public Integrity. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much information to get to you, to give to you, to put in your hot little hands. Stay with me. Shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Being healthy is a matter of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. The Foundation for Chiropractic Progress is a nonprofit organization that has introduced an online calendar filled with simple, fun, and enjoyable activities to help you make 2007 a healthier year. Visit foundation4cp.com to download the calendar or call 866-901-3427. That's 866-901-3427. Something for your health from WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
In honor of the 82nd birthday, and in honor of the legacy of Malcolm X, the Universal African People's Organization invites you to attend an international symposium focused on Africa and her largest country, the Sudan. Guest presenters will include the Ambassador of the Republic of the Sudan, John Luth UK, Akbar Mohammed, founder of Youth for Africa Foundation, and Zaki Baruti, President General of UAPO. And in special honor to the legacy of Malcolm X, awards will be presented to the students who changed the world by fearlessly engaging in the sit-in at City Hall. So, come on out, join us at Tegeler Hall at St. Louis University, 3550 Linda Boulevard, Friday, May 18th at 7:30 p.m., and we will celebrate the memory of Malcolm X together. Be there.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have much business to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And I reported it earlier this morning that the Pentagon has sent out orders to have 3,500 troops be ready to go in August. Bush is talking about an additional 30-something as part of his surge. It's unclear whether these 35 new troops are considered the same as Bush's troops. It's unclear, but we do know that 35,000 have received notice that they will be deployed this fall. And reflecting upon that, I'm looking at this story that just came out of Reuters today. Car bomb killing 16 in a Shiite city. U.S. colonel shot while surveying building a wall that nobody wants in Baghdad. And then this other report that has gotten buried in the news, that the United States military is expecting to suffer heavier casualties. It's going to get worse. And this is after 25 people were killed near Ramadi in two suicide bombings. Despite our security crackdown. So it's going to get worse. And tell me again why the Democrats are not asking for a timeline. Tell me again why Rahm Emanuel is saying, what we're going to do is we're going to make him promise that once we give him this little bit of money that we won't give him any more in 30 days. Yeah, right, Rahm. Car phone.
Liz Brown.
Fellow on the car phone.
That's 35,000 more troops, ain't it?
That's what I said, 35. Did I say 3,500?
Yeah.
Okay, I meant 35,000.
Yeah, 35,000 mm-hmm. more. And, this message coming out of New Jersey about these terrorists that they so-called stopped.
Kawinky Dinky?
Florida flashbacks.
I'm with you. Florida, whatever happened to those folks?
Yeah.
Florida flashbacks. What are they bringing in? What is it, Bosnians now?
No, are they in Guantanamo now? I mean,
Yeah.
These guys are so they're so calculating.
Yes.
Why take your video
to
a place to have it copied?
That has your secret plans on it.
Guns and talking about God is great.
and planning on blowing up a military base, Fort Dix military base. Come on now. You're so smart. Wait a minute. Your daddy owns a pizza company? And our pizza shop, and you're delivering pizza, and you're the intelligence gathering guy? Come on now.
I'm just saying to myself.
Come on.
Is this the...
Come on now. Did we have... I feel like twisting around trying to read my back and see if there's a sign on it that says, tell her anything because she believe anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When they were supposed to get it right on 911, couldn't nobody figure out anything.
And wait a minute. The number of people on the no-fly list went from 4,000 in before 9/11 to 44,000 in 2007. And all we got was one shoe bomber. Oh, that's right. He wasn't a shoe bomber. I do not believe this for one New York second. I don't believe it.
Liz.
Huh?
The WWF.
There you go.
What's supposed to happen, happens.
There you go. There you go.
We live it in, and that's what these boys are doing. And now they want to create this so they can say, see, we're doing our job.
See, we're doing, well, first of all, we need to be able to tap your phone. Second of all, we need to be able to spy on you. Third of all, we don't need to follow the law because we're at war here and there. And fourth of all, do not talk about this war because if we bring our troops now, then we will have pizza delivery boys trying to attack, military bases all over this country. And pizza delivery boys that are so smart that they would send a copy of their attack plan out to be copied in the public arena. Come on now.
Would you tell me? Liz, and just let me, if they want to show me something, explain to me why airplanes flew around 50 minutes after they hit the World Trade Centers, and then the most heavily fortified building in the United States, the Pentagon,
yes.
As Dick Cheney watched the airplane come in, 50
yes.
miles out, 30
yes.
miles out,
yes.
Third of the order still stands?
Yeah.
Of course it still stands, and the plane hits the Pentagon? Please explain to me how this can happen.
Okay. When you put the cheerleader in charge of the nation and the dumbest kid in the class, that's how stuff happens. Thanks for your call.
Have a good one.
1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone.
How you doing, Ms. Brown?
I am outstanding.
I listen all the time. Three words. Michael Piper Collins. The New Jerusalem. The High Priest of War. The books are mind-blowing. You have a nice day.
Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. I don't believe it. No. There were not four dudes from five dudes sitting around. We're going to take over Fort Dix, New Jersey. It didn't, no. No. Any more than there were those Florida guys on top of the building saying that they were going to blow up something. Come on. You know, good and doggone well, you're being played. They don't want you to pay attention to your gas prices. They don't want you to pay attention to the foreclosure rates. They don't want you to pay attention to anything going on out here. The only thing that they want you to do is to be scared and hand over authority and hand over your lives to other people. and then get out of their way when you hand your life to them. And then shut up and sit down when you hand your life over. Come on. Do you really believe that some pizza delivery boy? I've seen Futurama. I know what's going on. I don't believe that a pizza delivery boy whose daddy owns the pizza shop was scouting intelligence to, in order to blow up or attack military members on the base at Fort Dix, New Jersey. I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. And if you don't believe me, see where this story goes. I guarantee you, just like the Florida case, you ain't going to hear anybody talking about it a month from now, 3 weeks from now. It's going to disappear into the annals of the same place where John Ashcroft, who couldn't beat a dead man, got appointed to be attorney general. Remember when he broke into your soap operas to tell you about the shoe bomber that they found? How'd that work out? Didn't turn out to be that way at all. My name is Liz Brown. Recognize when you're being played. Recognize when you're being played. And don't let it happen. Thank you all so much for listening this morning. And I will see you same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
Very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all